The Preston and Steve Daily Podcast is presented by Acme. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors, and the official supermarket of MMR's Preston and Steve Show.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news update with Kathy Romano.
And it is Tuesday, April 13th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, Pennsylvania residents outside of Philadelphia, 16 or older, are now eligible to receive the COVID-19 vaccine a day after the 1C category was made eligible and almost a week earlier than originally planned. The eligibility announcement, which changed the original date of Monday, April 12th, was a surprise, and most people found it to be an encouraging one. Pennsylvania expanded its COVID-19 vaccination eligibility list to phase 1C on Monday, but starting Tuesday, those in phase two are now eligible, meaning vaccines are available to all adults and teenagers 16 years of age and older. To date, Pennsylvania providers have administered more than 6 million vaccines, and the state is ranked among the top 20 states for first dose vaccinations, officials said. More than 2.4 million Pennsylvanians are fully vaccinated. Philadelphia also moved into phase 1C on Monday, April 12th. The city previously announced it would move to phase two of its COVID-19 vaccine rollout on Monday, April 19th. City officials said the date will remain despite Pennsylvania moving up its vaccination timeline. The child who was at the center of an Amber Alert on Monday has been found safe, and his father is now the suspect in the deaths of the boy's mother and grandmother. The child, two-year-old Byron McDonald, was found in a room at an Aloft hotel near the Philadelphia International Airport. The suspect in the case, 28-year-old Byron McDonald II, and the suspect's mother were also found at the hotel. Police believe she was the one that booked the room. Both are now in custody. Byron McDonald II is the suspect in the killing of the child's mother and grandmother. One of those killings happened at 1:30 Friday in the 2500 block of North Bancroft Street, which was also when the child went missing.
I have to say, excuse me, there's a lot they get wrong, but the Amber Alert stuff works like a charm. I mean, it's like...
Did you get them yesterday?
Yes,
they were going off every 5 minutes.
Right, yeah. I mean, they just pounded it.
Yeah. In that case, the child's 50-year-old grandmother, Tamara Akins, was shot and killed. The child's 25-year-old mother, Morgan Tanay, was found dead from a gunshot wound to the face after police were called to do a welfare check at the home in the 4800 block of North 8th Street around 9 a.m. on Monday. 6ABC reports that Braxton and McDonald had some ongoing domestic disputes centered around McDonald feeling that he didn't have enough access to his son. Police descended on the hotel's property after an employee noticed the car authorities were looking for. The investigation prompted hotel guests to be evacuated. A Delaware man is looking to get a license to be able to keep his pet deer that's house trained.
Oh, I saw this morning. House this is great.
Yeah, it's funny. A man in Newark, Delaware, formed a special bond with a young doe that he named Bambi after his favorite cartoon. A few months after Messiah L. left a bread trail and was shocked that Bambi followed the crumbs inside of the house and made herself at home. Now, when she comes in the house, she likes to get fed, L. says. Her favorite spot is the couch. She'll go over and sleep on the couch. She wakes up and then taps the door when she's ready to go back outside. Then she goes back into the woods.
Yeah, so he said it's not like he's keeping her as a pet. Like, she shows up after a few days
and he's like...
Come on in. Aww. And she just wanders in. Aww. But you can't do that, apparently, with a deer. It's illegal.
Correct.
So, yeah.
She likes car rides, and she gets along with the kids and the dog, but apparently not the cat. She answers to the name Bambi, and they consider her one of the family members. She kind of acts like another dog in the way that she likes to get attention, Elle says. If a dog or another animal gets too much attention, she'll butt in when it's her turn. Elle says that he doesn't own the deer. She just comes and goes every few days, but always comes back. They have a unique bond, he says. So he's been contacted by the Delaware Department of Natural Resources, which let him know that allowing deer into the house is illegal possession of wildlife. So Elle is now looking to obtain a deer license so that Bambi can come and go as she pleases.
Wow.
In sports this morning.
Ball sacks are yummy.
Ball sacks are yummy.
The Sixers beat the Mavericks last night in Dallas. Joel Embiid scored 36 points, and the Sixers wrapped up a long stretch of road games with a 113-95 win.
They did it!
Embiid made all six of his free throws in the first four-plus minutes and was 14 of 15 from the line as the Sixers finished 8-4 while playing 10 of 12 games on the road. The Sixers are back home tomorrow night and will play the Brooklyn Nets as the top two teams in the Eastern Conference face each other. Tip-off for the nationally televised game will be scheduled for 7 o'clock. The Phillies and the Mets had their game rained out last night in Queens. The game will be made up this afternoon as part of a day-night doubleheader. Chase Anderson will get the start in Game 1, and Aaron Nola will pitch Game 2, which is scheduled to start at 7:10. At yesterday's trade deadline, the Flyers made several moves, including trading Michael Raffel to the Washington Capitals for a fifth-round pick. Raffel played over 500 games in orange and black. They also dealt defenseman Eric Gustafsson to the Montreal Canadiens for a seventh-round pick. The Flyers are on the road tonight with the game in Washington against Raffel and the Caps. The puck will drop at 7 o'clock. And that's what I have for you this morning.
Thank you oh so much, Kathy. And we're 2 days into the work week and had a wonderful success yesterday giving away cash with our Money Clip contest, of course. That continues, and your first shot is going to be less than 2 hours from now, so you can make it. 8 a.m. is the first shot, and then 10, and then we do it at noon, and 2, 4, yeah. 6, and 8. And it's a great time to win some money, my friend, so don't miss your opportunities. Details available at WMMR.com if you're not familiar. We have a couple of guests on the show today. The impeccable Danica McKellar will be joining us. And she's talking about The Matchmaker Mysteries.
Which I've watched.
The Art of the Kill. And it's on Hallmark Movies, you know. So.
I think she's producing these. I think, like, this is her baby,
Candace
right?
Candace Cameron Bure does likewise.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Trust me, I'm up on the whole thing. You know.
She is making a mint from those, so good for her. She's awesome. We love her, so we'll get her on around 9 o'clock. And then our good friend Jake Matera, former intern of the Preston and Steve Show, is going to be not only headlining at Helium Comedy Club, but he is a live recording.
Yeah.
How about
he's
that?
Recording his album there.
Jake is so good.
Yeah, so we'll chat with Jake and just find out what we can expect from that show coming up. And Jake's the best, so we'll have him on, and we'll give things away. We'll talk about stuff. We'll have a good time.
Yeah.
We'll do that drive into work today. Casey, oh, thank you. Today's Tattoos Day. I forgot about that. We have a chance for you to win a Preston Steve tattoo, a $350 gift certificate for Floating World Tattoo and Piercing, and that is now up and open and running, and you can text the word tattoo to 39333, and you just might win. It's that simple, my friend. All right, we're going to break. We're going to come back when we return. Some entertainment stories, a stupid question with some freebies, and we'll just take you where you need to be. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Love Preston and Steve and WMMR? Check out WMMR.com for more of everything that rocks.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
So, the stupid question prize today is a pair of tickets to see Steve Trevino at Punchline Philly on Friday, 9:30. So, the question in mind this morning has to do with the game of tennis. Which Grand Slam is played on clay courts? 215-263-WMMR. Call if you know the answer. In tennis, which Grand Slam is played on clay courts? 215-263-WMMR. It is the 13th of April, and I've got some birthdays to mention while we wait for those calls to come in. We'll start with one from the world of television, Mr. Rick Schroeder.
Ricky Schroeder.
Yes, began in Silver Spoons.
Yes, first time I ever saw him.
And then eventually made his way to NYPD Blue.
And
movies, too.
Yeah, he was really good on that series. Most recently, he was in the Dolly Parton movies about her childhood. Coat of Many Colors, or whatever the hell it was.
Okay.
Hey, was he in that Ryan O'Neal movie, the boxer movie?
No, The Champ. Yeah, that's what was I was going to say. I think it was called The Champ. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a remake.
And so I don't know if that was before or after his appearance in Silver Spoons. I feel like it was before.
I think it's before, yeah.
He was a little kid then, but
he was an adorable little kid.
Yeah, he is 51 years old today.
Yeah, he's not playing those little kids anymore.
No. Caroline Ray Who was on Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
I like that show.
I know. It was kind of...
It was a guilty pleasure.
Yeah. 57 today. Tony Dow. Wally on Leave It to Beaver.
So, who was alive from that cast? Is Jerry Mathers
Jerry
still
Mathers,
alive?
Jerry Mathers, I believe, is still alive, Steve. But that's it. The guy who played...
Eddie Haskell passed.
I remember we talked about him. I've forgotten his name. Tony Dow, still kicking around. And I remember in like the 80s him popping up in a couple things. I was like, oh my God, that's Wally.
Right, yeah. He was trying to make a run at a stabilized acting career.
Yeah, but that show was... It was cute. Preston, and like you said, it's still, the comedy holds up.
It still holds up. It was the first show that I can remember getting right the vibe between brothers.
Right.
You know? That's exactly the interactions I had with my brother.
What did Eddie Haskell used to call Beaver Squirt?
Yeah.
He's Squirt.
Yeah. Or
I think so.
They always had that the contentious relationship.
Yep. Tony is 76 today. Actor Paul Sorvino.
Great.
82.
Greatest role would be Goodfellas, right?
I think so.
Right?
Yeah. He's just so... That scene where he's quiet. I've forgotten all the characters' names.
Right, right.
The restaurant owner comes to him and he
what,
wants...
Do you want me to kill him? Yeah.
Well, it wouldn't be such a bad idea. And he just stares at him. That look is just priceless. He doesn't have to move.
Yeah.
Nothing. It's so imposing. And he's been in a lot of other great movies throughout the years. He was in the Firm and Bullworth and his daughter is Mira Sorvino.
Yeah,
he's 82 today. Gary Kasparov, the Russian chess champion.
Yes,
is 58 today.
Sort of a lot of those chess players and chess champions are egomaniacal, and he's got a legend. Yeah,
yeah, totally. When they're the champ,
yeah.
They know it, and there are legions of people who just absolutely bow down to them.
Right.
I'm telling you, Queen's Gambit really opened up a whole new world of chess players. Nick and I were talking about this yesterday. His son and friends are really into it as well because of that.
It's cool, yeah.
So Gary is 58 today. Ron Perlman, Hellboy, Beauty and the Beast, Sons of Anarchy.
Pacific Rim. There's a documentary now about Ron Perlman, and I don't know what it's on, which streaming service, but he's a colorful character.
He turns 71 today.
Yeah, Beauty and the Beast was a big series. He was... Yeah. They had to put makeup on him to make him a love interest, and he actually looked far more attractive as a lion. He's just not.
Was Linda Hamilton the...
Yes, she
was beauty, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And he lived in a sewer.
Yes, he did.
And SNL
had a library in the sewer.
In a library.
Right? Yeah.
In a raw sewage sewer. Uh-huh. And SNL did a parody with Phil Hartman playing the Beast. And they made mention of the fact that it's in a sewer.
Right, right. Yeah. And the smell and all those wonderful things that come along with a sewer. From the world of music, Max Weinberg is a big one for him today. He is 70 years old today. Always dug the Mighty Max. And it was so cool when he was the band leader on Conan. I thought that was a really neat segue for him.
His band on Conan was really good.
Oh, they were
really
fantastic.
Good.
I had the privilege of seeing them live. I went to a Conan show. It was their 5th year anniversary show, so it was a big one for him. And I was just focused on the band. They were so damn good, man. And
he was
a great leader.
I like bands with drummers as the leaders a lot.
I do too. Like Gene Krupa. Gene Krupa, obviously. But on TV, you know, the fact that Questlove is the star of that
band.
I love that fact.
It's great.
Anything for drummers. And of course, his son is drummer for Slipknot. He's
excellent.
Freaking amazing. Yes. Yeah, so happy
Wouldn't
birthday.
It suck if you were that good, the way Max Weinberg is, and your son was just not...
Right.
Not up to snuff.
But sometimes the son surpasses the father, and that's the case here. So Max is 70 years old today. The great Al Green, R&B singer.
Just one of the greatest songs ever.
Used wonderfully in Pulp Fiction.
Yeah.
Yep.
When they go to Marsalis Wallace's bar, whatever it is, and we first meet, Bruce Willis's name?
Eddie Haskell.
Name. No, Bruce Willis's character's name.
I forget.
Butch.
Butch, yes. And this song's playing lightly in the background. There's something to it that just captures that moment.
It might have been on his birthday last year, but somebody posted on Twitter a Walgreens, but the W in Walgreens was out, so it just said Al Green's, and they said, happy birthday, Al Green's. And so Al Green saw it on Twitter, and he just wrote, oh, my God, who did this? Which is great. You know, he has a sense of humor about it.
Nick pulled up a list of birthdays, and I just saw this one. We have spoken to this gentleman before, William Sadler.
Oh, the great William Sadler.
Yeah. And
spoke to him recently because of the Bill and Ted's movie.
Was it? Yeah, that's right. Yeah. He plays Dad.
Yeah.
You're right. And in Shawshank, he's in that as well. He's
he's the lunatic in Die Hard 2. He's the colonel.
Who's
running the whole?
He sees ass.
Yeah.
And in what was the Seagal movie? Hard to Kill.
Yes.
He wasn't that hard to kill. You know, he was the senator. He was kind of pulling the strings. But at the end of that movie, he takes a double-barreled shotgun and shoves it into his mouth, and like he knocks his teeth out. He's got this gun in his mouth.
He looks so pathetic.
He does look pathetic in that. Well, happy birthday to William Sadler, who's 71. Stunningly beautiful Allison Williams.
Ooh. If your child said they had their salad tossed, would you know what they meant?
She is the...
What's that all about?
It's in case he's making a reference to the girls episode on HBO where she had her butt munched.
I mean, yes. Okay. Yes.
Yeah, graphically.
Graphically.
Yeah.
Well,
the boyfriend, Sasha,
even bigger fan now. But in Get Out, she's great in that. She is 33 today.
Her dad, Brian Williams Preston, was the only... news anchor to have his butt munched during a broadcast. So,
then it's kind of like Max Weinberg and his
Sunday.
Exactly. These things. And then the last birthday, a friend of the show, Mr. Glenn Howerton of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
I cannot tell you how much time in the average course of a month that I spend in It's Always Sunny blooper territory.
Oh, man.
And there's one that just cracks me up. He makes Charlie Day lose it all the time.
Does he?
If he was so there's the one with the ski school. Did you see the one where they have the ski school?
Yeah.
You know, and one of the bloopers is Charlie Day saying, you've never mentioned wanting a ski school. And Glenn's just kind of looking down and going, yeah, I have.
Yeah.
And his delivery in classic, his classic comedic timing is so perfect. They just die.
And Dennis, the character, is
he's just reprehensible.
He's horrible.
I mean, he kills a woman.
I don't remember
he
that.
He kills a woman. Remember, in case you remember the...
I don't remember him murdering somebody.
The TV newscaster with the large rack. It's like season 3 or 4.
I have to go back because I've seen every single episode.
He puts a pillow over her face in the hospital.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
To put her out of her misery.
Glenn Howerton, 45 years old today. So happy birthday to you, sir. All right. We'll see if we can find an answer to the super question in tennis, which Grand Slam is played on clay courts. And to the phones we go. And, hey, Larry.
Hey, Larry.
Larry, are you there?
Good morning.
Morning, buddy. All right, Larry, do me a favor. Tell me which Grand Slam is played on clay courts.
It's the French Open.
You are correct.
Hey, Larry.
One moment, Larry, because you win. And we're going to give you a pair of tickets to see Steve Trevino, Punchline Philly, Friday. That's at 9:30. And tickets are on sale now. Two shows each night, May 14th, 15th. And the shows are indoors with reduced capacity, socially distanced tables. And masks are required unless eating or drinking. And safety info and tickets at punchlinephilly.com. It is a 21 and over show. We'll begin with the royal family as they're prepping for the funeral of Prince Philip. Prince Harry touched down in the UK to attend that funeral. He and his reportedly estranged brother, Prince William, issued separate statements about Philip. In a post on Kensington Royal Twitter and Instagram pages, William remembered his grandfather as an extraordinary man and part of an extraordinary generation, sharing a charming picture of Philip sitting next to Prince George on a carriage in the post as well. Harry, meanwhile, remembered his Philip as master of the barbecue, legend of banter, and cheeky right till the end, noting that Philip's dedication to service and his reputation for his sharp wit and humor. Harry said, "My grandfather was a man of service, honor, and great humor. He was authentically himself with a seriously sharp wit and could hold the attention of any room due to his charm and also because you never knew what he might say next." Harry is reportedly staying at Frogmore Cottage in Windsor, where he and wife Meghan Markle lived before stepping down from their royal roles. He will be in quarantine for a few days and go through COVID tests in accordance with guidelines.
It's wild because my wife, as I said yesterday, had not seen The Crown, so we're watching it from the beginning. And so much of the beginning of the episodes of The Crown is about that dynamic of Philip having to adjust to what his new life requirement will be and what Queen Elizabeth's new situation will be and the things that he realizes, okay, I'm losing my name, I'm losing my career, and I'm now going to exist in service of my wife.
Yes.
You know, and the way he has to adjust to it. It's really amazing.
It is. Yeah. And that kind of that she is in charge.
She
now,
is. And he can't leave the plane while she's leaving the plane.
Yeah.
She's got to travel alone in the car. And it's something that he deals with.
Yeah. So, by the way, so Harry will be steps away from Windsor Castle, which is where the Queen is in residence and Philip is lying in rest. Sources tell Vanity Fair that the Queen and Prince Charles hope that Harry and William can mend their rift.
It'd be nice.
At Philip's funeral, the Queen will attend the state opening of Parliament with Charles on May 11th following her official mourning period.
He should take him axe throwing.
That's a really fun
activity. It's fun.
Yeah.
Hey, did Harry have to fly commercial going back?
I don't know.
Anybody know?
I didn't hear about it.
Guess is one of his high-powered friends provided a jet or something, yeah.
That's a good question. Prince Andrew, by the way, also spoke out publicly for the first time since stepping down from public duties following an FBI investigation into his connections to the convicted late pedophile Jeffrey Epstein.
I'm so glad we can put this whole Epstein thing behind us.
No,
focus
we're not
on the matter. Dad.
No, that's not.
Of course, not I all. Really appreciate you putting the whole Epstein issue behind us. I agree with your sentiment that now is not the time to even think about Epstein and my association with underage women. Focus on the matter at hand.
Andrew told reporters,
please focus on the matter at hand.
I loved him as a father. He was so calm. He was always someone you could go to, and he would always listen.
I remember when he said to me, I know you're completely innocent of anything relating to Epstein and his island. And I took that to heart. Won't you please believe him?
So we'll follow this story.
Yeah.
Hey, the producers of the 93rd Annual Academy Awards have promised an epic film-style production amid waning interest in award shows and an incredible strange and stressful year for the movie industry.
Let's see if they can rise to this self-proclaimed challenge, because
right.
That'd be great.
Yeah, on Monday, producers announced an ensemble cast of 15 stars to handle all of the presentation duties in lieu of a host. Among the lineup are all four acting winners from the previous year to present four acting categories. So, Joaquin Phoenix, Renee Zellweger, Brad Pitt, and Laura Dern, last year's Best Director winner, Bong Joon-ho, will also present. Other names include Angela Bassett, Halle Berry, Don Cheadle, Bryan Cranston, Harrison Ford, Regina King, Marley Maitland,
awesome.
Rita Moreno, Reese Witherspoon, and Zendaya.
Do you know what Laura Dern's going by now? It's Bing Dirty Dirty Dern.
Bing Dirty Dern? I didn't know that.
Yeah. I don't know where she got that from. Yeah. Well, it's a standard thing for the Oscars for the previous year's winner to present. So that's good that they're all there to do it.
Producers Jesse Collins, Stacey Sher, and Steven Soderbergh said, in keeping with our award show as a movie approach, we've assembled a truly stellar cast of stars. There's so much wattage here.
Yes.
Sunglasses may be required. additional talent to appear on the April 25th broadcast will be announced later. Deadline reports that word is all of the nominated songs will be performed for the first time on the pre-show.
And the edict is no Zoom acceptance. No, they're doing it all as well as they can in a live setting. However they space it apart or do it.
Good.
But they want it to be a real event.
So, Roger Jean Page left the mega hit Bridgerton because
he still hasn't gotten over
this. So stupid. He ruined it.
Well, the word is because he did not like what the creative team had planned for his character, the Duke of Hastings. This is what some are saying. A Hollywood source told Page Six, Roger is not coming back to Bridgerton because of creative differences with Shonda Rhimes and her team.
They wanted to make a return of the century gynecologist, Preston.
Oh.
And
did they have
that? It was too exploitive.
See, so this is a little like
he did leave.
Patty, like
yeah.
It's an insider saying it.
Yeah.
I'm not really sure. The source added, he wasn't happy with what was planned for his character for season 2, which would have kept him a player but not the focal point of the show. Also, Roger has been inundated with offers for other interesting and challenging leading roles. So,
there's talk of Bond.
Yeah.
And a major motion picture version of Sanford and Son.
Wow.
Yeah.
They're thinking about giving that.
Super hot Fred Sanford.
Giving that the treatment. This is the big one, Elizabeth. I'm coming to you, baby.
My heart is certainly pulsating due to the stress of maintaining a profitable junkyard.
Shut up, dummy. The source continues.
Could you imagine this stellar-looking human being sitting in that ratty chair?
As Fred Sanford.
Shut up.
They can get like, you know.
Shut up, dummy.
Tay Diggs to play Tommy. Lamont, you know, all this
super hot,
beautiful cast.
Blair Underwood's in there.
The source.
Why are we living in a junkyard?
Michael B. Jordan.
Yeah. It's just like a throwaway.
Hey, I have a Sanford and Son question. Did they do a show after that called Sanford Arms?
They did.
Okay.
They did. I clearly remember it. Yes. I don't remember what the plot was it a hotel?
I guess with a beautiful view of the junkyard. There was a hotel next door, something like that. I want to say Sanford Arms.
Okay, here we go.
It says here, a widower with two teenage children runs the Sanford Arms rooming house after Fred and Lamont moved to Arizona. So they
needed a spinoff, and this was what they came up with.
I guess so.
And none of the original cast was available, so no one watched.
Okay.
The source continued saying, if you look at all the big names who have left Rhimes' hit show, Grey's Anatomy, in the past, you see, you don't disagree with Shonda. Nobody is bigger than the show. Adding that Paige is leaving on good terms despite the creative differences.
Well, they need to get, if they want that show to have the heat that it's had, Kathy, you would say that he is the main focal point, right? Is what everyone was tuning in for.
Absolutely.
All right. So you got to get somebody.
I think he has ruined the show.
Oh, there you go.
By leaving.
Yeah. Okay. I don't think it's going to be what it was.
All right. We'll see. Hey, this is good news. Macaulay Culkin and Brenda Song are home together after welcoming their first child. I actually forgot that they were a couple.
Yeah, and so did I. It was years with Mila Kunis.
Yeah. That's right. I had the biggest crush on Brenda Song when my kids were watching.
She's adorable.
What show was she on? It was one of the Disney Channel
Sanford
shows.
Arms.
No, it was like Sweet Life.
One of those Zach and Cody shows, right? Yeah. So they named their son Dakota Song Culkin in honor of the Home Alone alum's late older sister who died after being hit by a car in 2008. So
I don't remember that.
No, I don't recall that as well. So, but good news, baby born, and they seem to be a happy couple, which is wonderful. Then we go over to the antithesis. Harvey Weinstein is set to return to California to face charges of sex abuse, and he is currently, of course, serving 23 years in prison.
Saw a picture of him. Yeah, he's lost a lot of weight, actually, while in jail. Yeah, so they had him. He's still using his stroller, you know, with the tennis balls on.
I guess maybe in jail you just can't sit around and eat and drink everything you want, you know? So maybe he's had to lose a little weight.
I've made a lot of friends.
Awful.
Right? He recently appealed the conviction. Judge Case said an April 30th court hearing ahead of likely setting a date for Weinstein to be extradited to California.
By the way, I mean, so, you know, he's pretty much the rest of his life is going to be behind bars, and he still has other cases that are pending. So, you know, there's no sunny end to all of this for Harvey Weinstein, nor should there be, but wow.
I only just have a little tidbit of information on this, but Ana de Armas was photographed out and about with a mystery man. Los Angeles, according to Page Six. She recently split from Ben Affleck.
Was it Andy Dick?
Reportedly over her desire to have kids and not live full-time in L.A. Hey, I have a Ben Affleck observation.
Yeah.
In the Snyder Cut.
Yeah.
Towards the end, there's a scene where Batman steps out, Bruce Wayne steps out on his, where he lives, by this lake, and he's standing there and they're doing this close-up shot of him. And he, in that particular shot, he looks a lot like George Clooney to me. Like he's taking on this Clooney type of appearance on his face, and I've never seen him quite so good looking.
I agree 1,000%.
Yeah.
There is something about those particular scenes where everything, the color is everything. So a lot of what you saw in the Joss Whedon Justice League was shot down the road after the original Zack Snyder footage was shot. That's why he looks different in parts of that
does
movie.
Does look a little different,
right?
Yeah.
But in this, he looks extra good looking.
I was surprised, and I've you know, always known he's a good looking guy, but I'm like, that is a handsome man right there. So
holy
kudos, kudos to you, Mr. Affleck. Hey, we have a clip to play. I believe American Idol. Paula Abdul made a last-minute replacement last night because Luke Bryan was out. He's got COVID. And I think we have a clip of that.
Yes, we should.
Is this her on the show?
This is, well, she's introduced, and then she talks about being back on the show that made her famous again.
Here we go.
We are delighted to welcome a guest judge joining Lionel and Katie, the one and only Paula Abdul. Welcome back to American Idol. We have so many stories. How does it feel to be sitting back here on this set for you?
Well, I'm so excited to be sitting with Katie and Lionel, friends that I adore. But for me, it's like, if I'm being honest, it's kind of nostalgic.
Okay. Well, she got to pop back on. I didn't watch it. I don't know what happened, but...
I have absolutely no interest whatsoever. And the laughable notion that anyone created is going to become anything remotely close to an idol is just ridiculous. But one thing that I do notice when I see the coming attractions to the show, that for all of the super talent that Lionel Richie possesses, and I think he's incredibly wonderful and everything, watching him cry is disgusting.
No, he's a terrible judge. He is a cringy judge. Yeah. His big thing is to, like, either, like, bring somebody a handkerchief or a Kleenex or give them a hug when they're crying. He also, like, everybody is like, the Michael Jackson.
We can stop this contest now.
Yes.
I watched...
everybody in America... No one in the hallway will know his person's name.
He fawns over...
Every single person is the next coming of.
Okay. I watched the beginning of it last night because I had Wheel on, and it just stayed right on ABC and ran into the American Idol. They start off with a low angle looking up at Ryan Seacrest, which is a terrible angle for anybody, so it was really bizarre. Is Ryan going from New York to L.A.?
He is.
Wow.
So they do this bizarre, you want to talk about, I guess they record maybe one episode of Kelly and Ryan.
Really? Because it's live with Kelly and Ryan.
Listen, Regis used to do the same thing. Maybe it's part of sitting in that chair on that show.
Unless you're a pussy, you do it.
Yeah, because Regis, when he was doing Millionaire. Yeah.
Millionaire was in New York.
We'd go back and forth between New York and L.A. No,
is Ryan there? Can you put him on? You're a pussy.
No, it was in L.A.
Yeah.
They would shoot.
Millionaire was?
Yeah. So they would do Live with Regis and Kelly in New York, and then he would fly to L.A.
He was doing, especially at his age, he was doing an incredibly demanding schedule. A lot of the guys it's tamped down since COVID, but like the guys who were doing the Dancing with the Stars when, Tom
Bergeron
was hosting, those judges were flying between the British version and the American version.
Well, and some of those contestants on that show, too, had to fly back and forth if they were working or whatever.
I miss Regis. He was one of the best.
I love you, Preston.
Thank you.
One day I'll be back on Earth.
I hope so, man. You were one of the best ever. So here's a death, unfortunately. Sad news. A gentleman named Joseph Savaro. He was best known for his roles as Tony Soprano's father in The Sopranos, when they would do flashbacks. Fred Goldman in American Crime Story, The People versus O.J. Simpson, and the stage musical of Jersey Boys. He was 66. He had a long battle with cancer. His daughter wrote on Instagram, and this is a sweet thing. She said, "I was by his side when my dear father passed away this morning, peacefully in his beloved treehouse." So I guess they hoisted him up into the treehouse.
That's interesting. So let me ask you this. So he was not in the movie, obviously, Jersey Boys, right?
No, but he did...
He looks like the guy who took his role in Jersey Boys, the movie, though.
He did more than 2,000 performances of Jersey Boys. He was Jip DiCarlo. That was Christopher Walken's the gangster.
Right, yeah.
I wonder if I saw him.
So he played... You might have, Case. He did a ton of shows.
He had a really weird scene in The Sopranos where Tony was doing... had a flashback of his childhood, and Tony's dad dipped his finger into, like, meat juice, and then his mother sucked it off.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And Tony...
totally kinky.
Well, so Tony's in therapy and he's remembering this. And it was this trigger for him because he saw his parents being intimate.
Yeah.
But it was the way that they filmed it, like, it was awkward for the audience,
oh, that's
too.
Cool.
Oh, wait. I'm sorry. He dipped Tony's finger?
No. He dipped his own finger.
But
Tony saw it.
Tony, as a kid, watched his parents have a sexual interaction. And just as a person watching the show, you're like, this is a little awkward.
I think I could top that, Nick. One time I was videotaping Hulk Hogan. Wait, did you say meat juice?
Yeah.
Meat juice. Doesn't everyone keep a jar of meat juice in the house?
They were making steaks, and there was like...
is that meat juice? Any left? I'd like to have some while I watch the cricket match. Yeah, I love to watch it on the ESPN 7.
You like cricket?
Love it.
Okay. And drinks.
It's out at 3 o'clock in the morning, and I have a nice tall glass of chilled meat juice.
Chilled?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you don't want it to get too warm.
It kind of congeals.
Starts to curdle. Yeah,
yeah, okay. Yeah. So,
yeah, meat juice, you either need ice cold or piping hot. Right?
Exactly, yeah. Meat juice.
Right. Oh, my God. This is terrible.
Yeah, and Tony passes out. And, it's a great scene, but yeah, meat juice.
Instead,
meat juice, everyone.
He should have played the analyst in Sopranos. Regis.
Regis? Yeah.
Right. So tell me about the meat juice thing. That's totally freaking.
Was his father a gangster?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and a philanderer and whatnot.
Okay.
And a rambler, the gambler, the sweet-talking ladies.
A rockin' and a rollin'.
All right.
And a reelin'.
Two more quick stories.
Place to put your bagels and such.
Henry Cavill went Instagram official with his new girlfriend, Hollywood executive Natalie Viscuso, on Saturday to mark the occasion. He shared a photo of the two playing chess.
Now, I'm a huge Henry Cavill fan. I think he's my favorite Superman, absolutely, and he's great. I don't think I like this pairing.
She's not up to snuff, huh?
Well, no, I don't know much about her other than that she was one of these girls in my super sweet 16 party on MTV where they are incredibly spoiled.
Oh.
Incredibly spoiled.
Really?
Like her sweet 16 party was $500,000.
Oh, no.
Well, so I don't know what that portends for Henry Cavill.
While he had a sly smile on his face in the photo, he admitted the game did not go well. He said, "This is me looking quietly confident shortly before my beautiful and brilliant love, Natalie, destroys me at chess." She was somewhat gracious in her victory, posting the same photo on her Instagram page, saying, "Just teaching my dear Henry how to play some chess, or maybe he let me win," she wrote. Viscuso's LinkedIn page describes her as a vice president at Hollywood's Legendary Entertainment, one of the production companies behind Cavill's film Man of Steel and 2020's Enola Holmes. So she's a deal.
I got it.
She's a mover in the industry.
You know who I liked who he was with for the longest time? It was Gina Carano.
Yeah, I like Gina Carano.
Yeah. So
she's
there you
got
go.
Good cans.
And then finally...
You've got extraordinary cans.
Finally, Lucy Liu is officially a god and has joined the DC Comics adaptation Shazam! Fury of the Gods as the villain Calypso.
This is going to be great.
The sister of Helen Mirren's villainous character Hespera. Or Hespera, I'm not how you say that. Along with Liu and Mirren, the core filmmaking team from Shazam, the original in 2019, is returning for the sequel, including Zachary Levi as the eponymous superhero Shazam, and Asher Angel as his teenage alter ego, Billy Batson. David F. Sandberg is returning to direct film. Like Mirren's character, Hespera, Liu's Calypso does not have an obvious counterpart in the DC comics. Both characters, however, are the daughters of the Greek god Atlas, who is one of the sources of Shazam's power. He holds the stamina of Atlas, as well as the power of Zeus, the strength of Hercules, the wisdom of Solomon, and the speed of Mercury and the courage of Achilles.
One thing I'd like to see happen with the sequel is a little bit more time with Shazam being the hero more, because in the end of the movie you had... Not to give it away if you haven't seen it at this point, but there were a whole bunch of basically Shazams.
Yeah.
And I would have liked to have seen more of what he can do when he's not screwing up and becomes the real hero we know he is.
I think it's Shazai.
Shazai.
Multiple Shazams.
Yes.
All right, we're ready for clips now. Supergirl is back for an action-packed 6th and final season. In this clip star, Nicole Maines explains the impact of portraying Nia Nal on screen. I think it's how you say it, Nia Nal. Here we go.
You know, I think one of the most rewarding parts is you know, getting to see people in my community have a superhero. Like, I know she's not the first trans superhero ever, but she's the first trans superhero on television. It feels really good to have someone like that to call our own and to identify with.
I don't give a f***.
Actually, the show got better over time, and she was a good addition. She is a good addition, but this is it. It's wrapping up now.
A new episode of Supergirl airs tonight, 9. That's on the CW. Here is the next clip. A Montana-based private detective teams up with an ex-cop to solve a kidnapping case in Big Sky. Here, star Catherine Winnick discusses what makes this show interesting to watch.
Reading Cassie's character and reading Jenny's character, it's so unique to have two strong, powerful women on screen that are completely polar opposites, but yet have a lot of respect for each other, as independent and strong as they are.
Shut up, dummy.
New episode of Big Sky airs tonight. That's at 9, and that is on ABC, and that's all I got for you. All
Yay. Right,
that's our rundown of entertainment stories. We have guests on the program. Danica McKellar will be joining us today around 9 o'clock. She's talking about the Matchmaker series, The Art of the Kill. Our buddy Jake Matera will be on. He is a former intern of the show, and he's played many roles and characters throughout the years on this program, and he is headlining a show at Helium Comedy Club this weekend on Sunday. And
is this the first time he's headlined at Helium?
Recording a live album, as far as I know. I don't know.
It was only destined to happen. He's that good.
And we got cash to give away. The money clip, less than an hour away. 8 o'clock is your first chance to win $500. Don't miss it. We'll be back in just a moment, so stay with us.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Rob Zombie. Papa Roach. Wolfgang Van Halen. No
is, new music. More of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
So my youngest son is a senior in high school.
Oh, man.
And I believe they've just entered into their final marking period. This is going to be it, man. I'll be done with high school in no time. So it's pretty wild. Rochelle and I have been thinking about this and what that all means.
I know we're going to talk about, you know, one thing concerning this, but I think about it just, we had our friends Phil and Leslie, you know, over to the house over the weekend, and we were talking to them about missing out on that year, you know, the way you'd normally have it outside of COVID and stuff like that. It was such a paramount excitement at the last year of high school, you know, not getting that experience.
It depends on who you are. It hasn't been a big deal to my son as far as missing out on a lot of these things. I mean, I've asked him about it and he's cool with it.
He seems fine with it.
But some people, you know, it's they're upset about it.
Well, and a lot of the schools are, even though it's different, they're not necessarily missing out on all of the stuff. A lot of the schools have done the Powder Puff football game, or they're doing some version of a prom, or, you know, whatever, their fall dance. They are doing some of the things that, you know, typically would be on the list for your senior year.
I found this on BuzzFeed. It was a Reddit user. It asked teachers to share what the new cliques in 2021 are.
Curious to see this.
Yeah, and it's interesting. A lot of the stuff is still there, but there's one or two things that are kind of interesting that I've never heard of before. I'll start with this one. This teacher wrote, while a lot of the basic groups still exist in some form or another, the most unexpected group I've seen this year is a growing number of middle schoolers whom everyone calls the Stonks.
The Stonks.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Is that, so there's a there's an internet meme, the Stonk meme. You know what that
is? Yes, I've seen it. Yeah. Right.
What is it? I don't know.
No.
So it has to do with like investing properly all right. So it Stonks is a like stocks, right?
It's a funny way of saying
it. It's a funny way.
It came from an actual mistake on a graphic, right?
Yeah.
And that's the click in high school?
They legit discussed the stock market at lunch.
Oh.
Rock on.
Yeah,
dude.
Yeah.
If you can find a way, I've told my kids, and they have no interest in whatsoever, neither do I personally, which is if you can find a way to make the money work for you, you have you've hit the jackpot.
Oh, my God. If I was in junior high and I had an understanding of the stock market and took some active interest in investing.
I was in the stock club in middle school.
Of course you were.
And that was the last time I expressed an interest in stocks. Because I thought, Preston, this is something I can learn from. You know, this is something that exactly what you just described, and it wasn't for me. I got a little bit of education out of it, but... I realized I don't have a future in finance.
I took an elective class. I told you guys at a community college thinking, all right, this will explain it all to me. I still don't get it.
You just hired the teacher, right?
I did. Yeah, he's my financial advisor. So some people get it, some people don't. But listen, take a shot at it while you're young, man.
You know what's also fed into this recently with the Xbox, with the GameStop stocks and all of that that's happened. And with the, was it Peter Pan was the name of the company? Whatever the company was.
Robin Hood.
That's it, yeah. All of that stuff has excited this interest in investing. But wow, man, clicks have changed.
Stonks.
Right,
here's another one. And teachers, feel free. Let us know. 215-263-WMMR if there's some interesting new clicks or something that might be worth bringing up in this conversation. This teacher said there's the group who want to grow up to be influencers now.
They're already
very active online and are obsessive about getting more views and followers. I mean, not just... just to have viewers and followers, just to, you know, have a big number. But you have your mind set on, I would like to be an influencer.
Like, that's how you're going to make your money when you get older.
So if you go, when I go on TikTok, I go on the general feed. I just go down the general feed. And a lot of times you'll see these influencers and you'll see, you know, like, I'm like, I hope parents know that somebody knows that they're doing this online. Because you'll see what appear to be very young girls, you know.
Suggestive stuff.
And I'm like... whoa. And a lot of times they'll announce their age, I guess, because that makes it better, but it doesn't. But yeah, it's I think everyone is an influencer in the making, at least the predominant amount. And there are guys who are doing the same thing, and they put what they consider like acting auditions up online and all this stuff. I mean, I'm all for being proactive with a career, but you don't have to rush it.
No, I mean, listen, Preston had that story in the Bizarre File yesterday of the girl who is a quote-unquote model or Instagram.
Right.
So she had like 2,000 followers, right?
Yeah. I think that was the press being liberal with their description.
Okay.
Yeah.
2,000. Yeah, I mean, there are some people who like do the bottle cap kickoff on the top of the... and they've got 2 million followers.
Right. Here's another teacher who says, talking about clicks in 2021, most groups are football players, gamers, and horse girls.
It's a horse girl.
They don't know.
Like a centaur.
No, not like half horse, human. I assume either they are obsessed with horses or they ride horses.
That's always been.
Or they're just like girls who love ponies.
There's a little group in my neighborhood who they all ride horses. So, I mean, I don't know if that's what they're called, but you know the girls that are going to the stables on the weekends and, you know, that's where they'll be. And, you know, all their pictures are of them riding or of their horse.
You always, growing up, didn't you know some girls who were very much into the equestrian thing?
Yeah.
All throughout elementary school, they tended to be more families with more means to, you know, do
that. Not necessarily, though. I mean, you can do, there are riding clubs. Yeah, essentially.
You can also do partial ownership. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I mean, I have a friend, and, you know, they're not...
like a timeshare and a horse?
Yeah, exactly. Kind of, and so his daughter is really into riding horses, and she started doing it because she loves it and then has created some friendships out of it. So
listen,
it's not obscenely expensive, as you might imagine.
Nick, on a basic level, if you can learn how to take care of an animal because they are demanding, that's a good skill set to learn.
Absolutely. Here's a Urban Dictionary, so take it for what you will. A horse girl, and believe it or not, it's not perverted. It says a girl. I said perverted.
I know.
Perverted. A girl who owns a horse and or has her social media profile picture set as her and her horse.
Okay.
Accuses people of pretending to be country on a constant basis. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Hang on. One of our former interns is on the line. One of our favorites, Peyton. Hey, Peyton. Long time no see and hear. How are you?
I'm good. I'm driving to a middle school right now.
All right, so you're a teacher.
Oh.
I am.
And what have your observations been of clicks that we might not be aware of or some that are just worth shining a light on?
I definitely don't have any stock gambling for myself.
No stonks.
No stonks.
Definitely a lot of kids want to be influencers and kids who want to be YouTubers and gamers. That's a big new one. Otherwise, a lot of the same, like all the kids who play football and all the kids who, you know, do any sport, or the kids who don't do sports and are like school.
The standard stuff on that side. But I'm curious, Peyton, with all of the focus, especially on social media, with influencing and YouTube channels and all this stuff, and the promise of perhaps quick money, how much of a distraction is that for kids in school? Does it become an issue?
Kind of. I mean, virtually it's been great, but like when we're in person, they're always on their phones. I'm constantly taking them from them, and whenever I say, "What do you guys want to be when you grow up?" It's always, you know, a gamer. I want to be famous for, you know, being on YouTube. And I'm like, okay, well, that's
yeah.
I mean, I guess it's akin to a rock star. You know, I mean, it's a different version of the entertainment world. It's being famous, you know, and wanting to do that. And I certainly wanted to do that.
Am I incorrect in thinking there's a difference? And Peyton, maybe you can weigh on this as well. The access to becoming a rock star wasn't as easy as having a phone with a social media account. You were at least expected to learn an instrument or something.
Yeah, you can sign up for a free account, and if you have a phone, you can get started.
Right.
And is being an influencer or a gamer a little more attainable than being a rock star, don't you think?
Yeah. I think so, yeah.
Very much so.
By,
I think at least they think so. Definitely more attainable.
You have a better shot. Listen, you still have to be charismatic. You still have to have things to say and entertainment to show. But you don't have to spend a long amount of time learning a quote-unquote skill, like, you know, a physical skill, like playing an instrument, like singing or something like that, or dancing or whatever it may be.
Things that we tend to think as being more substantive.
That doesn't mean that what you're doing is going to all of a sudden be, entertaining to people.
No.
But you have a better shot at it. It's a more level playing ground to at least get started, I think. So, anyway. All right, Peyton, it's great to hear from you.
Yeah, great to talk to you guys. I miss you guys.
We miss you, too. Hopefully, we'll see you soon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, take care.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Just real quick before you go, when I was in high school, the basic clique groups were as follows. You had the jocks. You had the freaks.
Yeah.
You had the socias, which were kind of part of the jocks.
I forgot about that.
Right. Yeah. And then you had pretty much the nerds.
Where'd you fall?
Yeah. I was freak and nerd. So I was in band, so I had a little bit of that nerd thing, but I ran with all the bad crew, but not the real, like, criminals, you know what I mean? I was like the wannabe, like I wore the denim jackets and all that stuff.
You weren't doing anything bad.
Right.
Let's get the quick assessment. Casey, what were you in high school? What was your clique?
I wasn't a clique. I mean, I was probably part of the crew who was just trying to blend in.
Yeah.
And be as popular as possible, but knowing his place, you know what I mean?
I don't think that's correct, because all of the people...
Oh, I didn't know we went to high school together.
No, but what I'm going to say is all of the people that... I know a lot of people that you went to high school with,
and
they were all in the popular crowd, and they all know you, and you were friends with them.
Yeah, so... All right,
Casey was a floater.
My senior year of high school...
Like a light turd. Yeah.
My senior year of high school, I was like so lucky. I sat at the popular table at lunch, right? So when you at lunch, like, you sat at the same table all year long. This is Catholic school, right?
It was assigned?
Well, it wasn't assigned, but you essentially assigned yourself that table when you sat there in the beginning, because everybody, you had to clean the tables when everything was over.
Right,
so
right.
You had to sit at the table. So I sat at the popular table, but I was the end.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Like you had like the king of the table, right. And then the little jester at the end of the table, and I was happy to be there.
You were the jester.
So when Greg Tolman would pick up the table, all would all slide on.
It would all slide. Yeah. No, because that was the geek table. Greg Tolman didn't pick up his own table. He picked up the geek table.
Kathy, we assume you were...
Don't assume.
What
Don't
were you?
Assume.
Yeah.
No, so you know what? Mine was sort of categorized, like Preston mentioned, but also in where you lived.
Right.
So, like, I was from the other side of the tracks.
Oh, I see.
So that's sort of where you found more of the freaks and the bad kids. And so that's sort of where I grew up. Okay. And so some of them, and like Preston said, like I think maybe I was friends with people like Preston, like not the real, real bad kids. but then there was the, you know, the people who had a little more money, and that was like Queen Bee. And, you know, so I was also friends with that group.
Okay.
I think I would have been friends with Kathy in high school.
You think you would have been?
I really do. Yeah. I think you and I would have hit it off.
So my mom always said to us growing up, like,
that boy Preston's on the phone.
No, our group of friends, like, we had such a large group of friends that I don't think you were necessarily considered a clique, because right. there was such a large group. And like I said, from different areas, there were, you know, like one of my really good friends was in the band, and she was in no way, you know, categorized as like nerdy or anything like that. So we kind of were spread out all over the place, which was nice.
Nick, yeah. Where did you fall?
I was a floater for sure. I was friends with the popular kids. I was friends with the nerds. I was a nerd. I was occasionally popular. But I'm on a group text chat with high school friends. There are 9 or 10 of them. We chat almost every day, if not every day. There are people in Columbia, South America, and California and Rhode Island. So like I'm still really close with a lot of my high school friends, and I'm grateful. But that group, the people in that group, there was a jock in there. There was me. You know, like it was a really varied group. So yeah. I'm happy about that.
And it's funny because my group, and I'm sure my kids are listening right now, but, you know, there were jocks and smart people and this and that. And the common thread we all had.
Stoners.
Booze and pot.
That was it, man.
It was the 80s, but that was it. Yeah. I mean, seriously. All right, so let me read a few more of these, and I can take some phone calls. Here is a teacher talking about the cliques that are in nowadays, or in 2021, and this teacher said the anime girls are now K-pop girls.
Yeah.
And this teacher said there are no Korean students in our school, but the Korean club is very active.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Well, so, anime is still, and manga, all that stuff is still super huge.
Sure.
And you'll find so many kids and adults, and that's still robust. And in the world of cosplay, that's huge. So, there's been a large porting over to K-pop. I agree.
Another teacher says, mostly it's just the vapors and the non-vapors. The vapors who try to get away with their habit in the bathroom, and the non-vapors who sometimes rat them out.
Man, you don't rat people out. I was a smoker. I smoked every single day in high school when my senior year, and I never got caught. But, man, if I had vapes,
It'd be so easy.
Where'd you have to go to smoke?
I smoked in the third floor bathroom.
You were actually smoking in the boys' room,
third floor bathroom.
God, I never tried to get away with that.
In the wing.
Where would you go, Preston?
We actually had a smoking lounge.
For the students.
It was allowed.
Okay.
All right. You had to be a junior or a senior, and you could go outside, and you could smoke between classes.
Right.
I mean, if you had enough time if you could make it before the tardy bell, you could slip out and smoke half a cigarette.
And there was a bar out there, too, right?
Well, Preston, we sort of had that as well, but it wasn't on campus, so you technically had to walk to the sidewalk and right on the edge of where the high school was, and same thing. They would go out in the middle of their class, have a cigarette, and then come back.
This was sanctioned. It was an official location on the school. A teacher would be out there to make sure people weren't smoking weed or you weren't too young to be out there smoking.
What kind of cigarette is that?
You could do it.
Why are your fingers all black?
Steve, what did you say where you fell in high school?
Oh, no, I would have been. So I got bumped around a lot because of the way they were redistricting things. So I would have been like a floater. However, because I was funny, and I ended up falling in like the guy who a lot of people in the school was terrified of, Preston, like, you know, the
he
psycho.
Loved you because you made him laugh or something.
Hey Steve, so I'd be walking by. Hey Steve, oh yeah, how you doing, buddy? Vinny Del Pret was his name, I remember, and he was like,
Randy Recca at my school. People were terrified of him.
This guy loved me.
I still won't say who the person was that terrified us in school, and there is a connection to this show, and I'm not going to mention it because I'm still not still terrified of him, but I don't know where he is today.
You don't know. Better safe than sorry.
Got Randy Recca, Steve Elmer,
Curtis Jackson.
Oh, John Stiffy. Man, there were a few of them that were like,
why do they always have those names?
Like, right?
Huge boner.
Like this close to going to prison people, you
know? Tony Canisano was another one who liked me as well. What ended up happening, though, Kathy, was that I could have gone down that they all wanted me to play football, and I started to go down that track, and the a lot the first couple of times the teachers who were the coaches were all teachers that were nasty, you know, it changed my course, you know.
The Sportos, Motorheads, Geeks, Sluts, Bloods, Wastoids, Dweebies, Dickheads, they all adore him. They think he's a righteous dude.
That's a pretty good rundown of, of some of the cliques. Here's another one for you.
Got your freshmen, ROTC guys, preps, JV jocks, Asian nerds, cool Asians, varsity jocks, unfriendly black hotties, girls who eat their feelings, girls who don't eat anything, desperate wannabes, burnouts, sexually active band geeks, the greatest people you will ever meet, and the worst. Beware of the plastic.
And by the way, the burnouts, that was kind of the freak as well. The same thing we
had. I've never been drunk. I've never done drugs. However, I always found the burnouts very easy to get along with. They were so chill.
Here's a text that says, oddly enough, our two school bullies are both currently serving jail time.
Go figure.
Here's one more clip from Clicks.
That is Alana's group over there. They do the TV station. They think that's the most important thing on Earth. And that's the Persian Mafia. You can't hang with them unless you own a BMW. And there's Elton in the white vest. And all the most popular boys in the school. Including my boyfriend, ain't he cute?
Yeah. It's funny. I could have done that, too. I could have been at lunch and gone, that person, there are this, there are that, blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean?
If you go back to Fast Times at Ridgemont High, remember one of the categories was girls who look like Pat Benatar.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I remember that. Yeah. Let me go to John, who's not a teacher, but he's got a 13-year-old daughter. John, good morning.
Yeah, Zeus,
buddy. What's up?
Dude, real quick before we get started, I was just cleaning out my attic and found my Y100 song I wanted
to play. Yeah, put it on.
The first thing I'd ever won. I didn't know what I was falling for, and I was all excited. These guys are like, you won. And I'm like, what did I win? And my mom was standing there, and you're like, so I just found it in the attic. I still got
That's
it.
Funny, man.
Yeah, no, I'm not a teacher, but I'm a single full-time dad. My daughter's 13. It's kind of interesting. We're just talking about this. So her and her friends, we went to the skate park this weekend. They're all getting back into skating big time. I started talking about, well, what's the different cliques? Like, I imagine that Steve was probably a hot Cheeto girl in high school.
On this list, there's the hot Cheeto girls. What is that?
That's what I said. I said, well, what's the deal? So a hot Cheeto girl is kind of like the stuck up, long nails, fake eyelashes, and ate hot Cheetos all the time. And it
hot Cheeto girls. So
yes.
Oh my god, I never John, knew that.
My girlfriend's addicted to hot Cheetos, but I don't think she'd be a hot Cheeto girl. Like that, so there's an actual click because they like those in the first place?
She might play it out, Nick. I don't know.
So John, is it like a 13-year-old Real Housewife?
What I'm picturing.
Are you allowed to eat Takis if you're a hot Cheeto girl?
Oh, they're nuts over Takis. I think that's a different group. They kind of clash.
Whatever your hot food of preference.
Gang warfare.
Yeah, it's like the cheese and the Takis.
John just bring up something that is happening, and he's correct. The resurgence of skateboarding and the resurgence of, not that it ever went away, but young girls getting into it.
Oh, that's
yes.
Cool.
It's all girls. All girls.
No kidding.
Yeah. Boys at it. It's awesome.
Bam's been posting footage of some young girls who are who are just killing it.
John, what were you going to say?
Oh, as far as the stock thing, I kind of have a theory on that. So I've done everything there is in life, and it's a hard balance between trying to make enough money working 80 hours a week and raising a kid on your own and giving them enough time. And I think that's the 90s kids. There's a lot of us that are single parents and we're kind of obsessive over how do we provide them with enough money and enough knowledge to use that money to have a different life.
Wisely.
So I'm into the stock market. I started teaching my daughter when she was about 10.
Oh, wow.
And then this craze came out. And I think it's the fact that it's so accessible. You can jump on your phone, use an app.
Yeah.
And if you look at it, it was actually kind of our generation that learned how to beat the hedge funds in the stock market. And
no,
their kids.
Yeah.
So it's become an obsession with them. But I got to give it to them. My daughter being 13, the kids around her age, they're actually how am I trying to say it?
Balanced.
They take on a variety of things. Yeah, they're well-versed in education. They like to learn. A lot of them do.
It's good. That's encouraging.
Yeah.
Yeah, big time, big time. So if you made anything, it catches on to the fad with YouTube. I mean, that's TV nowadays. That right. is your TV.
Right.
So especially with the stock markets and stuff. But
right.
Some of the names of the group she said I'm not even going to mention because I started asking her, well, what's that? And I went, all right.
Well, you got us into the hot Cheeto category, like so we're good.
Appreciate it, bud. We'll see you.
That's it, man. Got to go. Take care, guys.
All right, see ya. Enjoy that thong. let me go to Heather. He's a music teacher. Hi, Heather. Good morning.
Good morning, it.
Good morning. We were talking about, you know, clicks in this day and age in 2021. Like, I think it was last year, the year, maybe it was 2 years ago, when Visco Girls, remember?
Yeah.
Visco. I still have my Visco Girl bottle water right here.
Yeah.
Water bottle. Yeah, I remember Visco Girls. There's still a few of those left, but it's not as big. So okay. I teach middle school orchestra.
Okay.
And you would think orchestra is a click in its own, but it's not. It's really diverse. And so I've got a little bit of everything. I've got some stonk kids. I've got some... horse girls, which is fine because I'm a grown-up horse girl, so it's all good. My favorites that make me laugh all the time, though, are my wannabe influencers because our assignments are turned in as videos. So they send me videos of them playing whatever music we're working on that week. And so these little influencers will start their videos off. Hi, I'm so-and-so, and today we're going to play the G major scale, so let's get started.
Yeah, so they're giving the delivery.
Yeah.
That's kind of
it's
fun.
It's amazing. And then they play their scale, and they go, so that was the G major scale. I hope you enjoyed. Have a great day. And they're so happy and adorable. And, like, they've got these great...
They're working.
You know,
they're trying.
They're working on their hosting
right,
duties.
Right, right. And that, listen, if you... I will say this... you know, there's a downside to thinking that is an entree immediately to fame and fortune. However, the skills that you develop by communicating to people, mind you, you're not communicating in person, and that's another issue on another side, but to do a presentation, to do that will serve you in life.
Yep, agreed.
Oh, they're great. Yeah, they've got such personality, and they really like that. They're working it. They're, you know, and it's after watching, you know, video upon video, it's actually kind of nice and refreshing, so I actually enjoy it.
Just make sure they don't start OnlyFans page. That's the stuff you got to say.
Thanks, Heather. Appreciate it.
It is cute, though. Like, every single one of their videos, and I hear Jace doing it, too, like, starts with, hey, guys, today we're gonna, and
everyone.
Explain it.
there's a couple of... more appropriately, hey, guy.
A couple other things on this list.
He's a private account. No one can even see it. He's making YouTube videos.
There's one that says there appear to be an uptick in weeb kids.
Weeb is what now?
I don't know. But
like
with a clear divide between the cool ones and the dorky ones, like two separate groups. They all seem to be consuming the same media, though. So I don't know what that is. Weeb. Weebio? I know. I remember.
Weeaboo, an often derogatory term for people obsessed with Japan and supposedly Japanese culture.
Okay. No, that would be me.
Here's one that says, my aunt is a teacher. She said there are a lot of try-hard charmer students. Basically, they're students who try too hard to be funny, cute, but end up looking like idiots, and they're not aware that they keep doing it. Here's one. Here, so I would say two groups that stand out to me are the new weebs and the ESL kids. Says the new weebs are cool and dorky. The cool ones actually do other stuff like sports or something, but also love anime. Dorky ones only weeb all the time. The ESL kids have their own dorky and cool weeb groups that are essentially the same as above, but happen in Portuguese or Spanish.
You said the English is a second language?
Maybe it is. Yeah, the ESL population is growing exponentially every year.
Portuguese, huh?
Here's one that says, I'm kind of surprised that nobody's mentioned a vegan group. They tend to roam together. Okay.
Do not have, well, veganism wasn't really, vegetarianism was in its embryonic stages when we were in school.
Here's one that says, I see K-pop fanatics, esports gamers, and YouTubers, TikTokers. So they're a clique of sorts.
I'm so surprised they haven't even mentioned, like, they have mentioned jocks, right? But you would tend to think that jocks means guys. But it's definitely a girl thing as well. Like the field hockey, softball, soccer, and lacrosse, and basketball. Like that, those are all huge things.
Did
and
you
those are
softball?
All. I did. And those are all like year round things now.
Yeah.
All right, and then we can wrap with this one because this is an interesting observation. It says honestly, and this is from a teacher. I just noticed There aren't as many of those types of groups compared to when I was in school during the 90s. The students seem more accepting, and the barriers to entry into groups don't seem as fixed or harsh. The basketball star is into anime. The emo kids now listen to hip-hop. Country club kids organize social justice protest. It's kind of all over the place right now.
Yeah,
I could see that.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I could also see following into the standard trope.
It's going to happen. Yeah. Humans do that. That's what you do.
Yeah. Interesting look, though. New cliques, they do arise from time to time, and this was a Reddit thread that I thought was kind of worth exploring a tad bit. All right, I want us to take a break because we got money to give away. We're going to get back in a moment, and we are going to get to the Preston and Steve Money Clip Contest and Bizarre File Story, so don't stray too far. We will be back in just a moment.
Get social with Preston and Steve and WMMR. Facebook, Twitter, you know, the usual places.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors. Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
93.3 WMMR. It's time for a Preston and Steve Money Clip.
I had three testicles.
Now, here's your Money Clip keyword.
Thank you, Gary. The word is shock. All right, that's this hour's keyword, shock. S-H-O-C-K. And you have until 15 minutes after the hour to enter that. There are three ways you can do it. You can use our text contest short code. It's made for just for this contest. And the number is 45911. You can also be entered for the $10,000 grand prize if you enter it on the MMR app or at WMMR.com. So there you go, your different ways to do it. One random entry is going to win $500 in our company-wide contest. That person will get a call from Beasley, so be sure you answer your phone. Contest rules available at WMMR.com. Sponsored by Hyundai City. The word again is shock. S-H-O-C-K. Good luck to you.
Now, WMMR presents Bizarre. Preston and Steve's Bizarre File.
So this Bizarre File report brought to you by Mulch Works of Aston. They offer the highest quality mulch and topsoil that is manufactured on site. They also have leaf compost, decorative stone, pavers, and more. Mulch Works has delivery or pickup for residential and commercial markets. You can visit mulchthis.com for details. We'll start with the story of Juan Panzo Temajolt. How is X pronounced in...
Like an ush.
Ush. Okay. Temulsh. I can't pronounce his name.
Just call him Juan.
T-E-M-O-X-O-X-T-L-E.
Yeah, there we go.
Anyway, Juan died after a manure vacuum truck he was operating sunk into a manure pit at the Shelton Dairy.
Oh, my God.
He was operating the manure vacuum truck when it appeared to have lurched forward and fell into the manure pit, submerging the cab of the truck in the fetid liquid manure.
Oh, my God.
I know. God. Think of the worst way to go. Yeah,
fetid liquid manure.
Yeah. The release goes on to say the father of three children...
And he has a difficult name to pronounce.
...was trapped inside of the truck for 30 minutes before workers were able to get the truck free from the pit using a forklift.
Dear God.
He was later declared dead at the hospital. I know.
Yeah.
He was drowned in liquid...
Liquid S. Yeah. I didn't even know they had vacuum trucks for that.
I guess they do, yeah. So, wow. Terrible story.
Closed coffin, I assume, or...
I'm going to guess so. All right, how about this one? I doubt there was I'm assuming there was a closed coffin for this guy. A man lay dead in Oslo, Norway, in an apartment for 9 years before being discovered by a caretaker in December, Norwegian police have said.
So he's in an apartment complex?
Yeah.
Rotting away?
I believe so. So the man who was in his 60s had been married more than once and had no children.
What did his current wife say?
But according to neighbors, he kept himself, and when they didn't see him, they thought that he had moved or been taken to an institution.
He's actually a wonderful neighbor, though. He smells like rotting ass.
He was found only when the caretaker requested police open the apartment so he could carry out maintenance work. So I don't know if it was in an apartment building or what.
Yeah, but I hope it's not.
It was an apartment, so there were other units around it. Police believe the man died in April of 2011.
Unbelievable.
Based on a carton of milk and a letter that were found in his apartment. An autopsy showed he died of natural causes. His pension was stopped in 2018 when the Norwegian Labor and Welfare Administration could not get in touch with him, but his bills continued to be paid automatically from his bank account.
So he had that much in the account.
Why?
Wow. Yes. Wow.
A professor at the Norwegian University of Science and Technology said the man would unlikely have lain dead undiscovered for 9 years if he had died 30 years ago. The failure of new technological systems to raise red flags when someone did not make physical contact
was the
price we've paid for digital services.
So how many loot crate boxes were piled up?
It must have been tons. A New York couple has been arrested after police found a 4-year-old boy unattended in a car outside an adult store.
Oh, man.
Police are called to the parking lot of Amazing Intimate Essentials for reports of a 4-year-old left in the car alone. Upon arrival, troopers found the boy, as reported, with no parents or guardians in sight. And troopers went into the store and found the boy's mother, 25-year-old New York woman, along with her partner, 28-year-old New York woman. And police learned that the women had been inside the store for about 15 minutes.
Daddy has a magazine with naked ladies hugging.
The mother was charged with risk of injury to a minor and leaving a child unsupervised in a motor vehicle.
What's that from?
I don't know.
The Family Guy?
Maybe it predates the Family Guy thing, but that's probably a good guess.
Hit it one more time if you got it.
Daddy has a magazine with naked ladies hugging.
I love it. Okay, so I had a story yesterday of a couple. One of them was found dead in Death Valley.
Yes, here's a horrible story.
Here's some more hikers. A volunteer search and rescue team saved two hikers stranded in a Utah canyon on Friday night, and they saved them by guiding them down the mountain with powerful searchlights. The Salt Lake County Sheriff's search and rescue team received a call on Friday that two climbers were stranded in Little Cottonwood Canyon. The hikers began their climb of the canyon about 15 miles southeast of Salt Lake City, and they started around 4 p.m., They didn't complete the 5-pitch route late in the evening, and they didn't know how to. They didn't know the decent route or have adequate light to be able to find the rappel stations to get back off the route in the dark. It got dark, and they couldn't find their way down.
You make the wrong move, so they couldn't lay out their path. So, what kind of lights were they using?
Search lights, like full on
mounted on what? Helicopters?
I don't know. Volunteer rescue. It looks like they were mounted on the ground.
Okay.
Volunteer rescuers familiar with the route, known as the schoolroom, went to its base and shined high-powered lights on the rappel stations that the stranded climbers needed and provided them a descent path. The climbers made it off the mountain.
Sorry!
Around 2 a.m. with no injury, so it's a long day for them of hiking. And then finally, we will end with this story, and it's a follow-up. A bodybuilder who is in a throuple or a three-way with two sex dolls says that his partners have fallen in love with each other.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Sex dolls are in love?
Yes. Yuri Tolchako is back at it again after announcing that he had taken a second sex doll wife, Lola, while his old sex doll wife, Margot, was in repair, and that he is now in a throuple with Lola and another sex doll, Luna. He has now revealed that his two sex doll partners have fallen in love.
That always happens, doesn't it?
The bodybuilder from Kazakhstan revealed the latter in an Instagram post where he explained that his dolls, Luna and Lola, were getting on pretty well and claimed that he spends time with them both together as well as separately. He said, So me and Luna get along great. Lola also fell in love with Luna. I give each of them their separate time, but the three of us get together and are also having fun. He said, Luna is so babe, so honey. I just want to hug her and not let go.
Yeah, this guy looks together.
He went on to add, P.S. By the way, I'm often asked how a doll differs from a living woman. In addition to the fact that she can be for a long time in different poses and you can realize a variety of fantasies, she also has a unique nanny hoo-hoo.
It's just the unique nanny hoo-hoo.
There are elements that a living woman does not have. And you just fly into space when you play with her, he says.
So you're applying logic to this.
He does.
Yeah.
He's in love.
Man. He's in love with me. It's like my fleshlights get jealous of each other.
Yeah. When you're in love, sometimes you're not in your right mind.
You're right. So,
and there you go. That's what I have in the bizarre file.
Steve, does the show The Oblongs ring a bell? Because some listeners are
texting. That sounds right. Yeah.
I don't remember this, but it was a cartoon from early 2000s. Will Ferrell was in it and Gene Smart. And so apparently that clip, the naked ladies hugging, is from The Oblongs.
All right. Well done. Thank you, listeners. We appreciate that. And as a reward, we have your chance to win $500. You have about 5 minutes left to text the word shock to...
I have to poo.
Okay.
To 45911. And you can also enter that if you want to be in the running for the $10,000 grand prize on the MMR app or at WMMR.com. So the word again is shock. Good luck to you, friend. We'll take a break. Come back in a minute. Don't forget, Danica McKellar is going to be joining us a little bit later on. Our buddy Jake Matera, who's going to headline a Helium Comedy Club as well. We will return in just a moment.
The Preston and Steve Small Business Love You, Help You line.
Hey, good morning. This is Luke from the Westchester Mulch Company. We are your number one local source for mulch, topsoil, stone, and firewood. We have been supplying homeowners and landscape contractors since 2019. You can place an order directly on our website at westchestermulchco.com or give me a call at 610-241-0677. Finally, check us out on Facebook and Instagram at Westchester Mulch Co. Thanks.
Next message.
This is Dan from Hot Rod Garage, located in 255 Foskey's Road in Berlin, New Jersey. We have a lot of charity issues that we do for charity car shows, and we specialize in working on muscle cars. You can visit our website at hrgperformance.com, and all WMMR listeners get 20% off of labor. Thank you very much. Look forward to seeing you.
The Love You, Help You line. Shop local because small business needs our help. Find out more at PrestonandSteve.com. 93.3 WMMR. Putting Philly first. Sponsored by DellAutoGroup.com, where Jack really does sell them for less.
Quickly, a couple of shout-outs, if you don't mind. My son's friend, Donovan, was over at the house the other day and let me know that he got a new job.
Ah.
And that apparently everybody who works on the job listens to the Preston and Steve show every morning.
Awesome.
So I want to give some love and a shout-out to the fence medic and the gang that work there. So thank you guys for listening while you work. We appreciate that. And then one more quick one. This says, hey, Preston, and they're in Harleysville, by the way. I do want to mention that, the fence medic. This email says, hey, Preston, my husband and I have been loyal listeners to your show for the past 10 years, even podcasting while we lived in South Carolina and Arkansas. My husband just got an awesome job in Maine, and we are currently listening to you guys and road tripping across the country in separate cars to get there.
Wow.
I'd like to request a shout out to my awesome husband, Chad, who is probably going insane because he gets to drive with in the car with the cat, but is my rock no matter where we live. So excited to be on the East Coast again. Have a great flight, Selena. So here's a shark.
I have to speak to this because when we were moving down from New York to here, I bit the bullet. And at the time, we just had a couple of cats. And they were drugged up and they were in the car because they were so terrified. And Preston, driving down in the vehicle with all the stuff and furniture in the car. And the cats literally from New York to down here. The entire way.
Yeah. Oh, joy.
Oh, it was one. My wife still owes me for that one.
All right. You know what? I've been sitting on some stories for a while that need to be shared.
Really?
And they're all about food. Ooh. And therefore.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time
stuff. That's what he does. But you know the funny thing is he's not putting on his hat.
Man, do I have to put it on?
Put on the goddamn hat.
All right.
I got it. It's back here.
He's getting his hat. He's putting it on.
That was a Jeopardy answer the other night, the toque.
Yes.
And the only reason I knew it was because of this goddamn segment.
Ah. The only reason I'm hesitant to put the hat on is I have to put it on over my headphones.
We do need to let that out a little bit. We appreciate you doing it.
Weird, doesn't it, Kathy?
It's fine.
It does look good.
It looks amazing. All right.
So anyhow.
It looks amazing.
It doesn't look weird at all.
No, it looks
doesn't look weird at all, does it?
No.
I love this story. Kraft has created grilled cheese incense for you to burn in your home.
Now, right. This, to me, would be an issue. I'll tell you why. Because grilled cheese, its smell is so it drives me so crazy that I have to have grilled cheese sandwiches.
Yeah, then if you can't contain yourself, then this might not be for you.
Chocolate chip cookie candles would do the same thing as well. I would buckle.
So it's called Kraft Singles Grilled Cheese Scents. And it comes with a wooden branded incense holder. To get it, you'll need to tweet using the hashtag #BreatheCheesy and sweepstakes now through April 15th for your chance to win it. Now, wait a minute. I was told you can't do contests on Twitter. We had a lengthy discussion about this the other day.
What is that about?
What the hell's the deal with that? Marissa would know. She's our social media maven.
It's our company. It's not the world. It's our company.
Okay.
We need to work for Kraft Cheese.
That's what we need to do.
Can we, please?
By the way, my daughter has just gotten on an incense kick.
Okay.
Kathy, you would hate
it. I would die.
You wouldn't live. And so she's been burning it. We've allowed this. And
in her room?
In her room.
Okay.
Yeah.
Have the posters gone up yet?
No. She wants posters up. But anyhow. Winners, by the way, will be notified via Twitter DM beginning on April 16th. There are 1,000 sticks of the special incense up for grabs.
You're not going to let her put nails in the wall, are you?
No.
You got to do the command strips or command hooks, Kat?
Not in the shore house.
Oh, God, no. The command hooks rip off the drywall.
Well, then how do you hang things? This isn't what I was going
to talk about. You have to be really sure that you want it there.
Okay. You can do Velcro. All right,
guys. All right. So two things. Incense we only ever used in college when we were trying to mask the smell of something else.
Sure, sure.
Which then smelled like something else and incense.
And incense, right.
So whenever anyone smelled the incense, they knew you were smoking pot.
No, we had incense. We also had an amazing exhaust system with one fan blowing in and another fan blowing out. And And then we also had the blow tube, which pressed, what did you call that?
Somebody called it what was it? Like, it wasn't a filter.
So it was a
buffer or something like that.
So are we talking something like on a didgeridoo level out the window?
No. It was a toilet paper roll with, fabric softener sheets in there. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. I thought you were just sitting there with the tube out the window.
Yeah.
I don't know if I would like this grilled cheese scent. Like anything. So grilled cheese, like if you're making, anything in the frying pan, really, like home fries or anything like that.
Don't you love that smell?
I love home fries.
When you're going to eat it, though. When you know it's leading to eating it, don't you like that?
Let me respond to you. So here's the thing. So if it was chocolate chip cookies, I'm not going to, when I walk out of the house, my shirt, my hair is not going to smell like that chocolate chip cookie smell. I think it's when it lingers on me. So if I cook something in the frying pan like that, it gets in my hair, my shirt, and I'll smell like it for the rest of the day. And that's what I can't stand.
Okay.
I only cook grilled cheese sandwiches on a griddle.
Same smell.
But also.
Yeah, it's the same thing as a frying pan.
If I was about to make a grilled cheese sandwich and I got everything ready and then I opened the fridge and the only cheese I had were Kraft Singles, I wouldn't make a grilled cheese sandwich. I can only do it with deli cut.
And yet that whole cheesesteak argument happened. And you're an enigma when it comes to the definition of food.
Someone's nose is way up in the air.
Well, no, I just don't like the singles. And I would never, I wouldn't make a cheesesteak with those
either. I used to make it with the plastic on.
Yeah.
You'd leave the individual wraps on
there. Sure, man. It was great.
Well, anyhow, if you are interested in Kraft Singles grilled cheese scents, you gotta tweet. And the hashtags are #BreatheCheesy and #Sweepstakes.
Don't you find it overpowering? Like, for example, you know, when I like chicken fingers or like any type of grilled food that you probably shouldn't be having, or fried food, to me, it's like, I got to get away from this because I want to eat this now.
Yeah.
It becomes overwhelming.
That's why when you walk down, you know, say like a boardwalk or something like that, and you smell those french fries or
God.
Whatever.
It's, we need to go.
It's fantastic. Yeah. All right. Let me see what else we got here. I have several stories, so I want to make sure I get to them.
Guys, ours packing.
Hey, can I request the bell for a story?
Yeah, sure. All right. Next
story up.
Thank you. At the beginning of the pandemic, Costco closed down their on-site food courts, limited their menu, and also stopped serving free food samples. And in a recent interview with Costco's CFO, Richard Colanti, he said that food courts are slowly going to be coming back, as will free samples. He added that some of the first items will be back for sampling. Will be breakfast sandwiches, noodle dishes, and meatballs.
Let me ask you something. So we have the concept of the food court. Would it not be feasible to actually, in a legal court, give free samples of food while cases are going on?
Yeah. Also call that a food court?
Right? Well, you would, I mean.
Somebody serving on
the likelihood of people, right, showing up for their court dates.
If they're going to get lunch out of it.
If you got, you know, some pigs in the blanket.
Yeah.
Hey, I went to Kalahari over our spring break, and I was surprised that they had their buffet opened.
I don't even, what's Kalahari?
It's an indoor water park.
Yeah, it's like Great Wolf Lodge, essentially.
Okay.
Yeah.
Where is it?
Their buffet was open, okay.
Yeah, I was shocked, and it wasn't the first one that I saw. I forget where I saw another one. I mean, there were some, like, precautions. It looked like they were taking it to where everybody had to wear gloves. Like, each time you went up, there was disposable gloves, and you had to put them on and then handle the stuff. But, I was shocked to see it open.
How well covered was the food?
Covered? Did it wasn't covered at all.
So, by my reckoning, if you're going to do it these days, you should have the same things they use to manipulate radioactive rods.
Right.
Right. With the robotic.
I agree.
Right?
Yeah. Man, that place is massive, Kathy. I've only driven past it. I've never been inside. But, Steve, it's north of Jack Frost. It's not too far
from
there.
It's closer. Oh, is it cool?
Camelback, is it not?
It's in between Jack Frost and Camelback. It's like right off of 380.
It's
near,
like
near Toby Hanna.
It's like Great Wolf on steroids.
Yeah. Is it?
It's huge. And the slides to go outside and then come back inside, it's pretty impressive.
Do you have to stay there in order to go in the water park?
I don't.
Because that's the difference. Yeah, Great Wolf Lodge makes you stay there.
I don't think so. I think that there are tickets available if you're not staying there.
Okay.
Because I called before I went to ask about their capacity and all of that kind of stuff. And the water park was different than the hotel, which made me think you didn't have to stay there.
Well, if you're a Costco fan, and believe it or not, their food is good there. And it's inexpensive because you're a member, so you get a cheaper price. And
the
samples are great.
I do. It's to me that was part. You know, when you want to live on the wealthy side of the tracks, you go to Costco and try all these samples, Preston.
All right,
live like the gourmets live.
Order up. Next one. Here we go.
Next order is what, Preston?
Connoisseur.
Well, it's called Dingus.
Dingus?
I kid you not. And I read this and I brought it up for the name alone. A local celebration in South Bend, Indiana is coming back to life and it's called Dingus Days.
Dingus Days.
Yeah. A year ago, the pandemic brought the end of Lent celebration to a screeching halt. I've never heard of Dingus Days.
This is what follows Puttapalooza.
Yeah. Okay.
Whoa, 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 Dingus Days.
Ding, ding, Dingus Days.
Organizers are doing what they can to make sure the tradition continues. The pandemic caused Dingus Day to have a little different look than usual in South Bend this year. By the way, Dingus, the word Dingus was used quite wonderfully in the third season of Stranger Things.
Yes.
Was it Allison, I think, was a character who worked at Ships Ahoy?
The sassy girl.
Yeah, she kept calling Steve, you dingus. And I'm like, I love that word.
Steve,
I love it.
Steve Brühl on the series you've seen.
Yeah.
It's a he's
John C. Riley.
John C. Riley. He plays this crazy. He calls himself Dr. Steve.
Oh, yeah.
But he calls everybody it's one of the funniest things I've ever
seen. He's got the crazy hair.
Absolutely.
And the glasses.
We have a ton of clips we use.
So Dingus is used. And so apparently it hasn't stopped the fact that Dingus Day ended. It hasn't stopped a few people from still having a good time with sausage and sauerkraut.
Mm.
So I guess that's what a dingus is.
Where are the sausages?
Which is perfect, sauerkraut?
Because a dingus is, It's penis, pretty much,
that's
right?
I always thought. Yeah.
So, or idiot, or whatever it may be. So, to-go orders are $15 a plate if you buy six dinners, and it is the price for five, so you get one for free, said President.
They chuck in an extra dingus.
Huttuck. Yeah, you get a free dingus with that.
What was the city you said, Preston?
It's in South Bend.
Okay, so apparently there's also a dingus day in Buffalo, and it has something to do with the pussy willows coming into bloom.
Ooh, really?
Yeah, so it's
dingus and pussy willows. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yep.
So what was usually a kitchen and a hall filled with people socializing and eating sausage and sauerkraut and green beans is instead an empty hall and drive-through celebration.
Can you imagine the methane produced off that event?
Dingus Day.
Jesus.
Okay. So there you go. There's your dingus. Just thought that would be worth sharing. So, all right, let me see what else you got here.
Next story up.
All right, how about this? Pandemic wreaked havoc on the global supply chain, causing shortages of toilet paper, computer chips, a bunch of stuff. Now, one of the casualties you may not be aware of, ketchup packets.
Yep. I heard about this.
Kraft Heinz confirmed the ketchup shortage to the Insider publication, and Steve Cornell, the company's president, said that demand for ketchup has outstripped supplies. The popular condiment has already become a difficult item to get at drive-thrus. In July, CNN reported ketchup packets and other single-use items could soon be in short supply. Sales of the packets spiked 300% in the beginning of 2020 from the previous year.
So, you know, obviously a lot more people were doing takeout. A lot of the restaurants converted to takeout, and so they were just, it was a perfunctory thing to sort of throw in some packets. I think now it's more a by request thing, if you want it.
Yeah, when I've gone to, say, what's the burger joint? Right by King of Prussia, right outside the mall.
Oh. Shake Shack?
Shake Shack. They would just give me one little packet of ketchup.
What?
I know, and that was already gone by the time, and I'm like, really, man? But I guess it's because of this. So
I don't use ketchup on my burgers, and I don't use ketchup on my fries, so I didn't realize this desperate situation.
Mine goes swimming in ketchup.
Oh, really?
Man.
Oh, well,
yeah,
you know what,
fries,
Steve?
Absolutely.
You're probably part of the problem, because they're putting them in your bag regardless.
No, I'll actually go in with a handful of them and throw them in the man's
face.
Okay,
well, then you're not part of the problem.
So the ketchup shortage can largely be attributed to the ever-changing role of restaurants in the pandemic because of restrictions on restaurants. Many had pivoted to offering takeout instead, a move that significantly increased demand for condiments in individual portion sizes.
There you go.
Some restaurants that can offer on-site dining have opted not to use communal bottles as well. More people have also been eating at home, meaning that the hospitality industry is also competing with increased domestic demand.
Do you prefer, Preston, the packet, or do you prefer the dipping tub?
I'm telling you, man, Chick-fil-A has the best ketchup.
Okay.
That little dipping tub that they give you has the option. You can squeeze it out.
Yeah.
There are two different ways you can open it.
All right.
You can open it to squeeze it out, or you can open it to dip.
Okay. Now,
it's brilliant, I tell you.
I'm looking at it right now. It looks like.
Oh. See, at the top says tear to squeeze, peel to dip.
It says.
That's an album name. Yeah. Tear to squeeze, peel the dip.
Oh, that's great. That's like the double fantasy album.
Yeah.
Now, to me, there's only one name in ketchup, and that is Heinz. Some people, they're Hunts people.
Yeah, I'm not down with the Hunts.
Yeah, me.
Michael?
Hunts. Bunch of Hunts. I'm Heinz all the way. If I had to, and Hunts was the only option,
right?
I wouldn't turn it away.
Now, I like Hajinas.
Hajinas?
I've never tried Hajina.
It's a great ketchup, but you can only get it 1 week a month.
Okay. That is nasty. when it comes to mustard, though, I'm kind of like, whatever.
Really?
Yeah.
You're a free agent mustard guy?
I'm a free agent mustard guy.
I think that Heinz is my go-to. However, I find, what's the one that's a little sweeter of the collective?
Ketchup?
Yeah, there is one brand that's kind of known to be a little bit sweeter.
I don't know.
All right.
Real tomato ketchup?
Nothing but the best.
You don't even need hamburger.
Ketchup and mustard, I guess probably French's. Well, you know what?
Golden's?
Golden's.
Golden's.
If you're going to go with brown mustard, yes.
I love brown mustard.
I like Golden's. Yep. Yeah. That's good stuff.
When we were growing up, we had yellow mustard and, I'm sorry, we had... We had Gulden's and we had Squirt Mustard.
French's?
So Squirt Mustard was yellow mustard.
Squirter
yeah.
family.
Yeah.
That's what you guys would call it?
We call it Squirt Mustard because
but you can squirt Gulden's too.
We didn't squirt the Gulden's. We dipped in and we were highfalutin, Preston. We did Gulden's with the, you know, dip in with the butter knife.
That, in that odd shaped jar.
The glass jar.
Yeah.
You tried to squeeze the glass jar.
It kind of goes concave towards the top, right?
Yeah.
And but we also had the leftover juice at the top of the brown that was called Musquirt.
Like heat juice.
Yeah.
Musquirt.
Musquirt, yeah.
You're going to eat your Musquirt?
No, that was
you got to shake
gross.
It up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But I also don't remember the name brand that we used, but I know that it looked like the shape of the bottle was like a barrel. Do you guys remember that mustard?
Yep. I know exactly one, and I would opt for that from time to time. It's yellow, barrel-shaped, even had the little ridges around it. I know what you're talking about.
Right.
And Casey, I want to say it started with an M, but I'm not 100% sure on that brand name.
Mustard.
Wasn't Musselman's.
Mustard
was it?
Brand mustard.
And Musselman's sounds right.
But that's applesauce, I think.
That would be the most linear. Mustard brand mustard.
I love mustard.
Nick, I just had the joy of the Philadelphia Pretzel Company.
Okay, yeah, and they got good stuff.
And the mustard, just, I mean, do you need more in life? What is it? What's the brand you guys are talking about?
Plockman's.
Plockman's.
Or Plotchman's. I'm not sure how you pronounce it.
Yeah, we were a Plotchman's family.
Yeah.
Yes, I'd like to announce this, please. I'm having a gathering of 25 people, and they're all big fans of Plockman's mustard.
What kind of mustard?
Plockman's, please.
My dog.
For dessert, we'd like pudding.
It's the pudding guy. He loves Plockman's.
Pudding and Plockman's.
Wow.
My oldest daughter does not. She is a mustard snob, right?
Right.
But so she does not like spicy mustard at all. So whenever I order her sandwiches, the places that I order from, they don't like. I will say yellow mustard only, and if you don't have yellow mustard, don't put anything on it. So now, because they've made so many mistakes over the years, that I'm like, just dry, and we just put the mustard on at home.
We've almost always got in the fridge like five different kinds of mustard that are ready to go. We've got, we don't have Plockman's. No, we'll have yellow mustard, we'll have brown mustard, probably Gulden's. We'll have stone ground, a honey mustard.
Oh, yeah.
And then you have to have Dijon, because you can mix that and make, you know, salad dressings
what about
and things like that.
A mustard with a little bit of horseradish in there.
Not usually. Okay. Sometimes a sweet mustard. Well, that would be honey mustard. But some of them are, and a spicy mustard. So at least five at any given time will be
important
and ready to go. So, by the way, to show you how much restaurants are spending on
condiments.
This, executives from Long John Silver's had spent an extra $500,000 on ketchup this year because of soaring demand combined with the fact that single-serve portions cost more than bottles. Texas Roadhouse, which went through 55 million ounces of ketchup in 2020, had to pivot to wholesalers and generic brands after struggling to obtain Heinz ketchup, Casey.
Wow.
Wouldn't Long John's or Texas Roadhouse, wouldn't they also have to include, don't they include like A1 steak sauce and other things like that as well?
I think they have their own steak sauce.
They probably do.
Okay, yeah. But that's not going to get used nearly as much as ketchup will.
Ketchup,
you use ketchup on
everything.
A lot of different things.
Steak fries.
I mean, isn't it amazing, though, that over the years, ketchup and mustard have really,
they've come into their own.
Well, no, they haven't gone anywhere.
I know.
There have been a lot of, like, you know, sauce dipping sauces and toppers and all that sort of that stuff that has come along. Ketchup and mustard.
Nothing has displaced them.
No, it's crazy.
They're the kings of the hill.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yay. Congratulations. Yes, ketchup and
the OGs.
Ketchup and mustard. The OGs of condiments. Yes.
The only thing that's got them beat is salt and pepper.
Presenting Plockman's. A taste sensation.
A taste sensation.
It's an explosion of plock in your mouth.
And what's for dessert?
Pudding.
All right. I think I have time for one more. Man, there's good stuff here, too. I could. We could do another segment easily. But all right, how about this one? Jimmy Dean has created breakfast nuggets.
So sausage nuggets?
No, it's more than that. It's sausage, egg, and cheese inside a crispy coating.
Okay.
That sounds kind of gross to me.
What?
Yeah, dude, come on.
Say it again.
Breakfast nuggets. Sausage, egg, and cheese in a crispy coating.
So this is one of those things where you're Okay.
You could just make sausage, egg, and cheese.
It sounds lazy.
Yeah, exactly.
However, it might appeal to the person. It's like the... like 7-Eleven has the...
it might appeal to the obese person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, it appeals to me. This appeals to me. I think it would have been better if they put it in, like, if the casing was more biscuity.
So this is more like an egg roll, is it not? Yeah. It looks like it.
It looks like it, Steve. Yeah. Or even like a chicken, like a large chicken nugget.
What happens in these sort of things, Preston, is that one item, now you're going to assume because it's Jimmy Dean that the sausage is going to be to a better standard, but something gets phoned in here, and it's my guess that it's the eggs, that they're using some sort of egg substitute.
Probably, yeah. By the way, the nuggets come with either regular sausage or chicken sausage if you're watching
chicken?
Your waistline.
What was that? I'm sorry,
Gene. It was chicken sausage.
Oh, interesting.
If you want to, chicken sausage.
Chicken sausage.
I'm familiar with turkey
sausage. Do you
provide
Pluckman's dipping sauces?
If you want, they don't provide it. You have to buy that separate.
So chicken sausage, egg and cheese, and sausage?
Egg and cheese.
Oh, I see. Okay, so it's chicken sausage and one is just regular pork sausage.
And they're calling them breakfast nuggets.
Of course they are.
Somebody texted in and said that they're delicious, though, and fast. So somebody likes
it's just like a good hooker.
delicious and fast.
I don't know. I kind of want you to hang around for a little bit.
You like to cuddle with your hookers?
Yeah. A little bit. I want to get my money's worth, man. Throwing it back.
Don't leave just yet. I want to spoon a bit.
You like to cuddle with your hookers?
Paid for the hour. We're only 3 minutes in here.
Read to me.
How do we get from Jimmy Dean to hookers?
Gene Simmons.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Right. Yeah. Jimmy, this is a hooker. Hooker Jimmy.
Okay.
You all right? Help me with my breakfast nuggets? Jimmy Dean's dead. He's been dead for years, right?
Yeah, he died a few years ago.
Oh, he choked on a nugget.
Did he?
Of the demo nuggets.
What a way to go.
Yes, this is his dream realized.
In honor of Jimmy Dean.
Yeah.
He passed away in 2010.
His delivery was always like this, right?
That's right. He was 81 years old. His big hit was Big Bad John.
I love that song. A hokey Big Bad John. Now, he was 10 feet 4 and 5,000 pounds.
Big John.
Big Bad John.
You guys don't remember that at all.
No. Big John.
No, I remember Big Red from SNL, the thing that spit out blood as it rotated. You remember that?
Yeah.
I think it was the same song. It was Big Red. Dun, 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 dun. Big Red.
It was game, wasn't it?
It was a toy, and it spun around, and it just spit blood on the kids everywhere.
Big Bad John, he was a miner or something, right? He worked in a mine.
He held up a caving-in mine.
Saved everybody,
but he died.
And they left a sign that said, at the bottom of this mine lies a big man. Big Bad John. And then that led him to a sausage empire, believe it or not.
And hookers.
And hookers galore and all kinds of breakfast nuggets.
God's been good to me. I have a lot of hookers.
All right. We have a guest coming up at 9, so should we take a break?
Yeah, take a break.
All right. I have more, man. I don't know if
we want... The Connoisseur, we can revisit.
But maybe. Sometime soon. Definitely have to do that.
Definitely have to do that.
All right, we got to take a break. We'll come back in a moment. Danica McKellar will be joining us, as well as our good friend Jake Matera, who's going to be at the Helium Comedy Club. We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us.
Alexa, open MMR.
Would it hurt you to say please?
Use your smart speaker to listen live from wherever you are. Rock Pierre's Workforce Blocks while working from home. Get your daily dose of Preston and Steve on demand. Or catch up on the Bizarre Files podcast. Were you one of the first to grab an Amazon Echo a few years ago?
Well, aren't you ahead of the curve?
Text speaker to 39333 to make sure your Alexa skill is up to date.
For a second there, I thought you said we were going on a date. Ha ha ha, no.
93.3 WMMR.
Everything that rocks.
We are going to skip the traffic for now because we have a guest on the line. We're going to come back to that traffic report in just a moment or two. But we love talking to her. She comes on
the show pretty regularly. We love it because we are huge fans. And Steve, you're a diehard
Hallmark fan, and I'm digging the Hallmark mysteries, which she is doing as well, and the Matchmaker mysteries. And I mean, listen, they're great. I can't help it. I love them.
The Art of the Kill.
Yeah.
Is the one that's premiering Sunday at 8 o'clock. So we are very happy to welcome once again to the show the lovely Danica McKellar.
Hey!
Good morning, Danica.
Hey, guys.
How you doing?
Good morning.
Hey, so, you know, Steve was talking about the various Hallmark, I guess, what would you call
these? The mysteries.
Titles.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That you're now involved in. And so is Matchmaker Mysteries different than the other Hallmark mysteries? I'm losing track here, Danica.
They do have quite a few mystery series, or like series of movies. Yeah, but they're all great. And it's fun. They're all sort of patterned after Murder, She Wrote, where the main character isn't really a professional, you know, detective or anything, but somehow they get involved in solving murders, and somehow they are really good at it. And in my case, I play a professional matchmaker. That's why it's called Matchmaker Mysteries. And I have a knack for reading people. I can just tell when people are lying. I can tell when somebody, you know, especially what their relationship is with somebody else. I'm really good at reading that. And so that makes me very good at solving these mysteries.
Yeah.
And it's awesome. It's really fun. They're cute. And but it's, you know, they're murder mysteries, but they're the Hallmark version of murder mysteries. So nothing ever gets very dark. You know what I mean?
No, there's no brutal murders. Yeah, but I'll tell you what, it exactly fits in the realm, you know, like during the lockdown and during, you know, people sort of quarantining, like shows like Columbo, people have been going to that and having a great time and you know, revisiting that stuff. And my wife and I liken these movies, which we really enjoy, to a whodunit. It's a classic whodunit, and it's like an Agatha Christie level, and it works.
Yeah, they're so fun. And you know me, and I love math and solving puzzles and stuff. So this is just right up my alley. It's so fun to get to combine my Hallmark movie experiences with actually solving puzzles and becoming, you know, solving crimes.
We do these, my family and I, we do these mystery files where you're sent this information and you get evidence and suspects and all, and you read the reports and you try to figure out who did it. They're pretty difficult. Do you think you would be pretty good at that stuff with your deductive skills?
I just wrote down a note, mystery files. Is that the name of the game?
No, but I will get it for you, though. But, yeah, it's a lot of fun. But I'll bet with your equative mind, if that's even a word, your ability to work out these equations, you'd be pretty good at that, don't you think?
Yeah, I would love it. I'm already excited. My son would love it, too. We love to play Clue. I mean, that's just a version of it, but that's been my favorite game since I was a little kid.
You know what works, though, with the Matchmaker Mysteries and like with the Aurora Tea Garden and all of those is that, I know I sound like a lunatic here, but there's still enough to like throw you off. So I mean, and that's part of the fun is like it's a classic, you know, is a Colonel Mustard in the library or whatever. But the stuff is written to an engaging level. But what really makes it also work, Danica, is you're charismatic, your co-stars are charismatic, no one is just an annoying character, and it's a great diversion.
Thank you. Well, you know what's fun, too, is, and of course, this is Hallmark Channel, so you have to have some element of romance.
Yeah.
That myself and the detective, the actual detective, there's always that question, like, will they, won't they? And this is our third movie. In the second movie, I have dinner with my ex-boyfriend, and you can tell that Detective Carter is, like, jealous. And he actually arrests my ex-boyfriend for murder while we're having dinner, which I think he enjoyed a little too much. I mean, yes, there was some evidence against him, but you're like, that's interesting. And at the end, because we were about to have dessert, at the end of that movie, he goes, you know what? I still owe you dessert. And in this movie, the third movie, he actually brings it up and actually asks me on a dessert date, but not he makes it clear it's not going to be a date. But I want the audience to tell me, do you think this is a date? It's kind of fun, though, to have that, to watch the evolution across the movies. They're not truly just one-offs. I mean, they are, but you're also seeing the evolution of the relationship between my character, Angie Dove, and Detective Kyle Carter.
Okay. So that's right. By the way, the name of that the mail-in thing is called Unsolved Case Files, if you want to jot that down. It's a really cool, really cool game for the family.
All right. So in that vein, while you're writing that down, Danica, what is Spy Alley? Because I saw on your Instagram you played that, and I'm a big fan, as is Preston, of Catan. I play that with my son and my girlfriend. So What's is Spy Alley kind of like Clue?
Sort of. I mean, it's in that you're trying to figure out stuff. You're trying to figure out the identity of the people you're playing with. So you have a concealed identity. It's a board game. Spy Alley is a board game, and you're all spies from different countries, but you don't know which country that you're from. And as you go around the board, you have to collect enough pegs in your own country's category before the other do. But if you are too obvious about which country you are, then somebody will be able to guess who you are. Oh. It's really fun. I highly recommend it. It's a very complicated game, but it's easy to learn. Okay. So me taking the time to explain it right now would take up the rest of our interview. But you should check it out. It's called Spy Alley. It's been around for a while. We just discovered it. We played it during quarantine, actually, for making this movie. So in Canada, you have to quarantine for 2 weeks. And so yeah. I do it with my mom and son, and they came up with me. And we played Spy Alley every single day.
Well, yeah, let me ask you, because so I am not a massive fan of overly complex board games. However, when I have enjoyed them, they have usually been of like the Clue, you know, murder sort of type thing. Is there something for someone who has a limited attention span that you might recommend in the game realm?
This is great. This is not a hard one.
Okay.
At first, you think it's going to be, but just take 5 minutes to actually read the instructions and start playing it, and you'll love it.
All right. Okay. If you recommend it, I'll give it a turn. Are you also producing? I assume you're producing stuff for next Christmas season, or have you already completed that stuff?
We've not completed it. We actually just had a meeting yesterday and got the green light to write the script. So we've been working on the story. I'm actually involved in writing the story this time, which is really fun. I'm going to have an on-screen credit, story by credit.
That's awesome.
I can't tell you any details yet. It's I don't want to say anything about it. I really can't yet, but it's exciting, and I'm excited.
So
I love doing Hallmark Christmas movies. I'm so excited I get to do another one, and this time to be even more involved is really a treat.
Well, have you been blown away? Because this is, I mean, this, my wife, I think I'm bringing my wife over. I'm the one bringing my wife over to the dark side on this, because she's now getting caught up in it. But the have you had other celebrities or people? Who's of note has betrayed the fact that they are hooked on this Hallmark stuff to you? Have you been shocked by anybody?
Well, I'm never shocked, because Hallmark is great.
It is.
But I do love it. I do love it when, you know, the older gentlemen will admit it. You know, I get the retirees who are like, well, wife and I, we sure do love watching Hallmark. I'm like, oh.
Well, that'd be me, damn it.
Yep.
I want to ask.
It's so sweet. I love it. I love it. No, and by the way, I want to say, I'll be live tweeting for the premiere of this mystery movie on Sunday.
Oh.
Matchmaker Mysteries. And I want people to live tweet. So it's at 8 o'clock, 7 o'clock Central this Sunday, the 18th, on Hallmark Channel. On Hallmark Movies and Mysteries Channel. And I want people to see if they can solve the whodunit before
right.
Angie Dove does, before my character.
Ooh, all right. Okay.
I might all take right. a crack at that. Yep.
Hey, real quick, I just
and to... and people if people send me a picture of, I'll be doing some giveaways. I'll be doing like signing some pictures of myself as Angie Dove. People need to send in pictures of themselves watching it. So take a picture of you and your TV. You can take a picture of the back of your head if you want,
right.
And your TV, and send it. And I'll pick a few winners.
All right. Sounds good. Case, you want to say something?
No, we got to wrap this up. We only get to 10 minutes with her. But
damn it,
you know what? We talk to her so often, I'll be able to ask her my question next time.
Yeah, excellent. All right. So, Matchmaker Mysteries, Art of the Kill, Sunday at 8 p.m. on Hallmark Movies and Mysteries. Thank you, Danica. Always great to talk to you.
Thanks, guys. You too.
All right, we'll see you, Danica.
Yay! It's pathetic how much I like these things.
It's pathetic how much I like her.
Yeah.
You know what? We have another guest lined up, but we need to take a look at MGM.
It's another Hallmark star, right,
no,
Preston?
No, it's not. MGM Insurance Group Traffic. Let's take a look at that. And Kathy, what's up?
We've got jam traffic on the Schuylkill westbound, Vare Avenue to South Street. And then again, King of Prussia to 202, where we have the left lane closed with construction. East on the Schuylkill, slowing from Spring Garden to the Boulevard. And then on the Blue Route northbound, the exit ramp at Germantown Pike, that remains closed. I'm trying to find an accident on, yeah, here it is, 95 northbound, just north of Bridge Street. It's jammed back to the Betsy Ross Bridge. The accident now off to the shoulder. The Vine westbound slowing 8th to the Schuylkill Expressway. Route 40 in Piles Grove at Auburn Road. We've got an accident there. 55 northbound, jammed Stepford to 42. This traffic report brought to you by Whole Foods Market. Enhance your fruit salad at Whole Foods Market with 20% off cut pineapple through April 13th, plus an extra 10% off for Prime members while supplies last. Learn more on the Whole Foods Market app. And that's your traffic on 93.3 WMMR.
All right. Thank you very much, Kath. Our next guest has was a finalist at the Boston Comedy Festival. He's a three-time finalist at Helium Comedy's Philly's Funniest Competition as well.
Do you know what's great for me to be able to say, Preston? So I've judged a number of these, and I've been able to vote for him not out of nepotism, because he's actually very funny. And you also forgot to mention that he hosts, or he is the star of the Jake Matera Mysteries on Hallmark Channel.
Oh, he is. Yes. Oh, my goodness. Please welcome Jake Matera to our show.
Oh. Wow, thank you guys so much. How am I going to follow traffic? I have no idea.
We'll find a way. Jake, by the way, former intern, for those who have listened for years, you know, former intern of the President and Steve Show. So you're headlining at Helium Comedy Club on Sunday, right?
That's right. I'm very excited.
Is this your first headlining slot?
At Helium, yeah. This is my first time headlining at Helium.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Sorry.
And it's for good cause, right?
Yeah, it's the best, yeah.
Yeah, but you're doing an album, is that from what we understand. Is that the situation?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're recording an album. So Helium has a new record label that they've started, and it's awesome. They got a lot of great artists on there that they've started recording, and this is my shot, which is going to be exciting.
That's nice. Excellent.
Nice. Were you calling this album a good cause, Steve?
Yes, it's a good cause.
Oh, I thought there was like a charity thing going on here.
It's the Jake Matera Fund.
Yeah, exactly. I'm a very good cause.
You are a good cause. Listen, you are a very talented, very funny guy. I've seen your act progress over the years, and you started solidly. And to get to this point where you refined some material, let me ask you, Jake, have you been going about refining material down for this performance when things have been so wonky with stand-up comedy and coronavirus stuff?
Yeah, it's been crazy because I was actually set to do a recording last year around this time for Helium, and then everything shut down, as you know. And so I had to, I waited it out for a little bit. And in the summer, you know, restrictions kind of opened up a little bit, and there was a lot of outdoor shows happening. I know I did some shows with Cricket Comedy, who did some shows at, like, wineries and the barns. And farms and stuff. You'd be surprised how intelligent the animals are. They love the...
They're really quite astute, especially the alpacas. So you did at least get a chance to try out the material.
Yep, and then, like, I think the last, 8 weeks or so, I've been running the hour entirely for free on Zoom, which I've gotten... It's cool. I've gotten some fans from that. My sub pump followed me on Twitter, so it's pretty fantastic.
That's great.
Jake, when you record your album on Sunday, will you be wearing any one of the outfits that we've made you wear on your Man on the Street segments with the show? And do you have a favorite?
You know, I've embarrassed myself enough with dressing as a baby. I think I'm just going to embarrass myself with my mouth this time.
All right. I think that one time you had said that you had found your dignity or something, and lost your dignity while you're out on the street.
Oh, for sure.
It was the best.
Still looking for it.
Still looking for it.
That baby head, you got to admit, is pretty amazing, is it not?
No, you know what? It was pretty terrifying. Yeah.
But so here doing the act, it'll be live in the club, obviously, and then will that be streaming as well, or will there not be any for that performance?
No, unfortunately, it's just an in-person performance.
Okay. That's good.
So we're doing an audio recording. We're going to have some video, a multi-camera setup. I think the release of the video would be probably a few months behind the audio, though. But yeah, it's coming together. A great lineup too. Pat House is on the show, as you know him.
Awesome. Yep. Yeah.
David James, he's like the OG Philly's Funniest Winner. Mary Radzinski, who's hilarious, and Seamus Millar, all good comics.
Yeah, Mary did Camp Out for Hunger, I think, 2 years ago with us, and she's great. I saw her open up for Marc Maron a couple of years ago, so it is an awesome lineup, Jake. For our listeners who aren't aware, how long ago did you intern with the Conan O'Brien show, and how long did that last?
Oh, God, that was 9 years ago.
Wow.
Which is, right? Time flies. It was 9 years ago, and that's kind of like where, I mean, from watching you guys and Steve every day, like, you know, that was like my initial spark of inspiration, but I was like, oh, I could never do that. And then just like working with real comedy writers every single day. Like, Steve's a real comedy writer. Yeah. Not saying that, but like a mechanical show production every single day for like half a year.
I mean,
pretty exciting. Yeah.
Does it get any better than a Conan O'Brien education in comedy? I mean, that's, you know, and the fact that you did, you know, I was thinking about this, Jake. You're actually part of, there was a video, Preston. Do you remember the video we shot where he was like the ultimate Preston and Steve fan, where he offs himself?
Oh, yeah.
It never aired. We deemed it.
I don't remember.
Wait,
that.
What was it?
He killed himself.
Oh, yeah.
In it?
Yeah, graphically, thanks to the to the video effects of Nick Murphy.
That sounds familiar.
And
to me.
It was deemed too much.
Yeah.
So it's like the Snyder cut of the Preston and Steve.
Did
show.
You put a gun in your mouth or what?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they didn't tell me it was loaded. It was fine.
No, the best was Bill Weston's reaction when we were like, hey, can we do this? And so we show him the video. And then when what happened.
Aww. Yeah.
He was like, he jumped back and visibly, like, audibly gasped. He was like, oh, my God. No. Absolutely not.
Oh, my God.
He was yelling at us like we were his grandchildren.
Yes.
How could you?
How dare you? How could you do this?
Hey, we were just trying things. What can we say?
Is that on your reel, Jake? Do you when you're auditioning?
Yeah, that goes before the diaper stuff.
Well, what you do have on your reel is some funny videos, including a Breakfast Club riff and a few other things. Explain some of the stuff you got that you've done, the funny videos.
Oh, yeah, sure. During the quarantine, you know, trying to create content during all that crap, I put myself into like the Breakfast Club and the dance scene, like where I was in a library and I was trying to shush them during the dance scene.
Yeah.
Then I had like my own fake interview with Conan that a lot of people thought was real. That I put up on there. And then, yeah, I think I did some other stuff where I incorporated my neighbor next door getting involved. He's like a 60-year-old retired PennDOT employee, and I'm having him throw things at me. It's you know, it's fun.
It's very well done. Do you have the video where you're working on your car as well? Because I think that's a hilarious video.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and also just not to spoil that video, my neighbor is the one who changed my car battery for me.
It was clear you had no knowledge on how to do that, but it was great.
Yeah. Yeah, shout out to my neighbor Joe for that one.
All right, so Sunday at 7, that's when the show is. You're headlining. It's a great lineup, so we just wanted to get the word out and make sure that people go and support local talent, but also a very close friend of the program. So we'll do what we can to get some extra bodies in the house for you, Jake.
I appreciate it, guys. Thank you so much. I had a lot of fun being on the show. Thank you.
Anytime. Always good to talk to you. Jake Materia! Yeah! Recording his live album, Helium Comedy Club, Sunday, 7 p.m. Tickets are available at heliumcomedy.com. He's one of the best, man. We love him.
Nice guy.
Yep. Well, we have a little bit of time to play with, and I have a few stories that I should share, and these are things that I did notice.
Oh my God.
Yes, I picked up on these.
We have the connoisseur, and now we have the noticer. It's clearly the greatest Tuesday of all time.
I noticed this because Steve sent it to me.
It's been pre-noticed, but that's okay.
It was noticed by Steve first, and therefore I noticed it secondly. But
noticed me noticing it.
This is hilarious. So Teslas.
Yeah.
The cars.
Yeah.
They come with Easter eggs. You've heard of the fart mode before.
Right.
You can do fart sound effects by and I think you can make the horn turn into a fart or something like that. But recently Tesla owners have discovered a new trick that might be the best one yet. It seems that Tesla added support for a voice command that allows you to access the car's charging port by saying the words "open butthole."
No.
Yes.
Why? Kid you. Not. And the accompanying command, close butthole, meant to shut the port when you're done charging. Now, there's some other things that it can do.
Right.
We have an audio clip, which we'll play here in a minute. But this is this recent discovery only accounts for a handful of the more than 150 plus unofficial voice commands that work with Tesla cars. It's a lot more attention grabbing than simply asking the car to fold or unfold its mirrors. And based on a handful of videos on YouTube, it seems that the open close butthole commands Works on a range of Tesla makes and models, including older Model S and Model 3 vehicles. On some cars, however, the command may trigger the trunk or even the glove compartment to open instead. So you have to try it out on your car and see what you get.
Now, Chance, you're going to be stopped, and obviously when if you're going to charge or get into the trunk, so you're not going to be driving along and open your trunk or your charging station, aka butthole.
Right.
But it's probably wise to check it out first.
So Elon Musk is a giant child baby.
He's got man baby aspects. Okay. To him.
You remember the flamethrower that he was marketing for a while? There was the Tesla the flamethrower. It was just he. Listen, that's the way to be if you're that kind of smart.
Yeah. So we have audio of a guy actually
a couple guys
doing the command. Here we go.
Open butthole.
And that's when the glove compartment opens up for him when he says it.
Open butthole. Close butthole.
And I guess is that the charging point?
Yeah, the charging port, yeah.
Okay. So you can, if you have a Tesla, try that out today. Try it out right now.
You know what? I just say today, go out during your lunch, sit in your car, and just keep saying open butthole and close butthole.
Open butthole.
Yeah. Whether you have a
open butthole.
Yes, there's a man in the parking lot. He's talking about his butthole.
Are all the charging, like, not just for Teslas, but also, like, for all the other electric cars, are they all, I assume that's all universal?
Standardized? Yes. Yeah. You know what I did notice, though, like, at the charging ports, I guess it was down in Manayunk. You know, it's not free, obviously. No, because they do have a swipe.
I borrowed my parents' electric car. They don't have it anymore, but I borrowed it for a little while. And there's a charging station over at Tubala.
Right.
And I had
one here.
When I had it, there was not one here. Okay. There was one over there. So that's where I had to park and charge it. But I had to get a card in order to do it. So I set up an account because they have one, but I wasn't on it. And long story short, it took a little bit of time and effort to do it. And Steve, when I was charging over there, it wasn't cheap. When charging at home, totally fine. You just plug it in like normal.
Yeah, right.
But like when you go to one of the charging stations, you pay a little bit more for it.
I noticed that. I was looking at the rates that were listed on the charging stations down in one of the public lots in Manayunk, and it's like,
yeah. Okay. So we bought an electric vehicle. We bought a hybrid. So you get, you know, use partial gas and the electric. So we're new to this, but we have a what's called a level one charger. You just plug it into the standard wall outlet, and it takes like 16 hours or something like that. If you have installed one that's called a level two, it can do it in like 2-3 hours, something along those lines.
Okay.
But it can cost you up to the prices range. It could be like $1,000 to have one of those installed in your house, maybe more.
All right. So,
but the way we are using this vehicle, and because Rochelle is driving and not me, I'm the one who does the most driving.
You charge it though, when you drive, don't you?
What do you mean?
When you are driving in a hybrid, aren't you also charging the battery?
Now that I don't think so.
Really?
No, it runs down fairly quick. But she uses that, and we just use a regular level one. We haven't committed to getting a level two installed in the house. Now, if we bought another one or one that was exclusively electric, it would make sense to do that.
When you say, Nick, though, it's not cheap, I don't know what you mean. Like, so I filled my gas tank yesterday. It was almost at E, and it cost about $45 a fill. With the 87 octane. So we're not talking that kind of money.
No, it's cheaper than a tank of gas. It's just not cheaper than plugging it into your house.
It's not free.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
However, though, what happens is they keep refining. I mean, if you talk about, like, there's a documentary, Planet of the Humans, and it goes into the impact of, like, electric cars on the environment. It's not awesome right now. It's getting better.
About the emissions, mostly.
Yeah.
Like, that's what it does better than other things. Although you have to get the most electricity in this country still comes from either from fossil fuels, right? So you're somewhere that electricity is being generated by a fossil fuel plant in all likelihood. Sometimes it's nuclear, sometimes it's solar, but mostly in this country, electricity itself is generated by fossil fuels.
A couple things I want to clear up that people are texting in. It says it depends on the type of hybrid you have, Steve, and whether it charges when you drive.
Okay.
And then somebody says that as far as the universal, Tesla has its own charging port.
Most of the rest of the industry uses a standard port. So these are things that people are texting in.
So it's good to know this.
And then I don't know if this is true, but somebody says you can make the heated seats come on by saying my balls are cold.
Oh, that's seriously? Awesome.
I don't believe that.
I would love if that was the case.
That would be great, but yeah. I don't believe that.
I asked if they were serious. They said yes.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah, they said that they tried it yesterday, so I think it's true.
So my friend has a Tesla. He says Tesla, by the way.
Tesla.
He's the only person
Does
I know
he say
that,
gas?
That says Tesla, but he has not only a Tesla, but also his home is solar powered, right? So he essentially is, and I think he gets like paid like gas miles for his work. So he's basically getting paid to
his entire house runs. He is not on the grid with a gas.
He is a little bit on the grid.
Okay.
And so I think he is paying like $10 a month in
energy.
Yeah.
Watch this documentary. It's very informative about the industry and where it's going. And we're getting there, you know, where you can start to have less of an impact on the environment. But there's it's called Planet of the Humans.
Okay.
It's pretty interesting.
My dad has solar. He has a place out in Colorado, and they have 300 days of sun a year.
Yeah, it makes sense.
It makes a difference. Yeah. And so they get so much solar energy that he actually feeds back into the grid. He gets a stipend every year for providing electricity. So not only is he off the grid, he's feeding back into the grid. It's pretty impressive
what
you can do. But, Steve, you're right. I mean, you got to start somewhere in order to make an impact on the environment. And we're in that we're still starting as a country phase.
And we can get there the right way without being, you know, something as simple as making a car that is sexy that people want to own instead of something that looks like you're driving a blender. All that stuff. works towards that goal. So, we're getting there.
I want to point this out. People who say charging your home is still not free. No, that's not what Nick was indicating. It's cheaper than at one of these pumps, essentially, that you pay at.
So I'm prepared to get ready for an electric car down the road. So I had my electrician, who's Mike. Hey, shout out to Mike. did a great job of setting up my garage for that. So, it's cool. So, what's the experience like? Do you like the hybrid? You're enjoying
it's
it?
Neat.
Yeah.
It makes a weird sound.
Yeah.
Yeah. It sounds very something out of Star Wars.
Futuristic.
Or something like
okay.
That. Yeah. Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see what it does for noise pollution, because if you live near a highway, in the next 10 to 15 years, there are going to be fewer gas powered vehicles on the road, right? So how will that change what it sounds like if you're near a road? Is it going to be like that?
I've not realized that I didn't turn the vehicle off a few times.
Oh, good. Yeah.
I'm like Rochelle was. She's like, you haven't turned it off yet. I'm like, ah, damn it. So because it's quiet, you just don't know it.
One thing that drives me crazy, you see it all the time, and again, what is pretty much the focus of my life and how I conduct my life is America's Funniest Home Videos. So there are so many people who get out of a car, you've seen videos, Case, that it's still in drive, that they've just come to a resting stop, and just get out of the car while it's, and it just drives off. It's like, how the hell do you do that?
Yeah.
Imagine those people with a car that's making virtually no noise.
Yeah.
Forget it.
I mean, the car that I drive now is a push button start, and I still sometimes will get out of the car
and crank it in the front.
No, but like the only time, when my car doesn't beep when I go to lock it, that's when I realize that the car's still running. I'm like, oh, idiot. And my car's gas powered.
Something we need to get used to too is the putting it in gear. It's just a knob. It's not a shifter at all. You just turn a little knob, and it's like that. That's. I mean, we'll get used to it. I mean, obviously.
So what they've had to do though is because of the quiet, your Teslas and all that stuff, they have to have something that alerts pedestrians. When you're coming down the road. So they what they're doing is they're including these big, like Marshall amps in the trunk pressed and the. Right.
No. Why don't they have something that screams butthole?
Yeah.
Butthole!
Yeah. Butthole! Butthole!
I think you might.
Here comes Steve.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't hear you coming.
I stepped out. I'm sorry.
You might get out of the way.
Yeah.
Slam on the brakes.
By the way, Tesla also supports a slightly tweaked voice command. If you are a Beavis and Butthead fan, it's open bunghole.
Okay.
Bunghole?
You can say as well. Yeah, not butthole. But bunghole. Dave, by the way, says the charging isn't universal, but Tesla does come with adapters.
All right, there you go. That.
All right, I did notice a couple other things. Let me get into this.
More things have been noticed, more things will be dispensed.
This one was noticed by Steve again.
Did I notice? I've noticed.
You noticed.
Two for Tuesday on the notice.
Connoisseur.
And it's Tuesday, isn't it?
Yeah.
How about that? It's also Tattoos Day. Don't forget about that. The Pentagon has confirmed that a set of images and videos showing unidentified flying objects buzzing over Navy warships off the coast of California in 2019 were taken by branch personnel. The photos were leaked from a Pentagon investigation of UFOs by the UAP Task Force, which has been gathering evidence for a report for Congress that is due in June. So that report hasn't come out yet. This is according to Mystery Wire. So I don't know how reliable that source is, but
that's a mystery.
That's the official sound of Mystery Wire. From this thing, Preston, and from all that we've been learning now, there seems to be a little bit more of a candor when it comes to what information has been in possession by the government. Now, again, simply because you're saying they're unidentified does not mean it's Zontar from Pluto.
Right.
But when you look at this imagery, these are some wild aircraft or whatever they are that are buzzing these Navy ships. Did you watch the footage, right?
I did, yeah. In the images, which were obtained by filmmaker Jerry Corbell, it shows an unidentified object above four U.S. destroyers, including the USS Kidd Navy destroyer in 2019. One of the images appears to be a pyramid-shaped object, while others were thought to be drones or balloons. However, the Navy has listed them as unknowns at this point.
So there's footage running in the studio right now, which is the older footage. There's newer footage.
Yeah, there's a different one now. Yeah. In a statement, a Pentagon spokesperson told Mystery Wire, "I can confirm that the referenced photos and videos were taken by Navy personnel. The UAPTF has included these incidents in their ongoing examinations." The confirmation comes a week after Admiral Michael Gilday, the chief of naval operations, admitted that he has no idea where the swarm of mysterious tic-tac-shaped drones that menaced the U.S. destroyers in 2019 originated. Or it's Gilday.
Gilday
led an investigation of the incident, which a group of what some have called unmanned aerial vehicles, or UAVs, chased the destroyer for up to 100 nautical miles off the coast of California. Flight logs revealed as many as six mystery aircraft swarmed the warships close to a sensitive training area.
So look at this.
At the Channel Islands at the speed of 40 miles per hour with a greater maneuverability than U.S. military drones.
Yeah, the footage was running here in the studio. And if you look at it, one of them does look like a pyramid. It's bizarre.
And it blinks.
Yeah.
When asked directly if the Navy had confirmed the identity of the drones at a media event last Monday, Gilday responded, "No, we have not."
Were you talking to me?
His response appeared to rule out the theory that the drones could have come from a secret U.S. military program. That has led to growing speculation that they were either built by a rival military power or something else beyond our understanding is going on. That's speculation.
They said they did get them to disperse by yelling butthole.
Oh, really? I didn't know
all you
that.
Have to yeah. do is scream butthole.
And they flew off at an accelerated rate.
Interesting. I will be interested to find out what that's all about, if they do indeed, but they said they haven't identified anything. I personally don't think that there are aliens that are currently monitoring us, but I don't know.
We don't know.
I don't know what it is.
Who knows? I saw this movie. There's apparently a skyscraper-sized gorilla.
All right. Let's see. Other things noticed.
This one for the noticer.
This one I noticed.
Preston noticed this one.
Mr. Announcer
noticed this.
So, I thought this was pretty ingenious. A Georgia middle school class's device to help fight human trafficking has made the finals in a national contest.
Cool.
It's called the Samsung Solve for Tomorrow contest. And it encourages students to solve real-world issues using STEM, you know, science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. So the STEM instructor, Nathan Williams, said that students created an innovative silent alarm that could be placed like a fire alarm in an airplane bathrooms. And if a victim of human trafficking triggers the alarm, it alerts flight attendants, pilots, and the authorities.
Wow.
The device, this is what's cool, also releases an adhesive for the victim to inconspicuously wear so they can be tracked after getting off the plane.
Oh my God.
So I love this idea.
Isn't
so, you know, we heard that, you know what to call them, stewardesses now, or
flight attendants,
I'm sorry, is... I was back in Pan Am in 1958. They're trained to look for body language that indicates that someone is being trafficked. You hear stories like that. So something like this is interesting. How does the word of this device get out to
how
people.
How would they know? Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. Because if the person trafficking this individual will know about it too, probably.
Yeah.
And not let him go to the bathroom is what I'm thinking. So I'm not really sure, Steve. But right now it's just an idea. And they've entered it. And at least it will get the ball rolling for something to maybe be created.
How about this? When they go down and they are going down the aisle and they're offering snacks, you can request a human trafficking kit.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you want peanuts or a Fresca? No, but a human trafficking kit would be nice.
William says one of his students came up with the idea, but each of them helped put the plan together to make it a success. Student Kayla Armstrong said, seeing all the people on social media talk about their experiences with sexual assault and human trafficking, it made me realize this situation needs more attention than it's getting. And as part of their research, the team met with officials at the Office of Homeland Security and discovered the shocking fact that an average of over 300 women are trafficked in Georgia a month. The team also worked with Georgia Tech professors who taught them about wearable technology to make their plan something that could work in the real world.
Fascinating, isn't
Smart
it?
Smart kids.
Good kids. You remember?
Smart kids.
There was a little girl locally who came up with a system for helping mitigate the lanternfly issue.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Right. She noticed that they crawl upward all the time.
Yeah.
And that placing something that encouraged them to crawl up and into it was a way. Now, I don't think it's gotten to development yet, but
no.
It was apparently the most encouraging and interesting idea. She might have been out. I think she was out my way.
I think she was, yeah.
Yeah, so I would like to see that happen. Cause
Project Butthole was the name.
We're getting close to that season, you know. Not butthole season.
Oh, it's always
butthole. Lanternfly season.
We are, yeah. When do they actually hatch, and when will they become prevalent again?
It's a summertime thing.
All right.
I remember when they started to, the first year I was aware of them, my daughter was cheerleading for football, and it was already getting, the season was already getting underway, so it was into summer when they start to pop up. And that's
give me an L.
Yeah. all right, other things noticed this morning? How about this? A huge statue of Jesus Christ is under construction.
Jesus Christ.
In southern Brazil.
It's wild to see it getting built.
Yeah, it will be even taller than its famous counterpart in Rio de Janeiro.
Super tall Jesus.
The Christ the Protector statue is being built in Encantado, a small town in Brazil's southernmost state. And it's made of steel and concrete, and it will stand 141 feet tall, which is 16 feet taller than Rio's Christ the Redeemer.
Wow.
The statue will
be... Buenos Aires is building a mecha Christ.
It will be like Mecha Godzilla?
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
The statue will be the third tallest statue of Jesus in the world.
Wow.
It's after a...
Jesus. I mean, the 900-foot Jesus is impressive, but look at... So here's... We're looking at a picture of the studio here.
My God.
The way that it's being built, obviously, so the you see the arms extended out on the scaffolding and the head is there, but now it kind of looks like an android Jesus, doesn't it?
Now, you said 900-foot Jesus. What is 900-foot Jesus? I've heard of that before.
Isn't it?
I think there was a band called 900-foot
Jesus. MC 900-foot Jesus.
Because after... So the tallest one in the world... is the 249-foot statue currently under construction in Mexico.
Huh. Why did I think it was bigger?
And probably because you've heard the term 900-foot Jesus,
yeah. Too.
And a 172-foot monument in Poland.
Right.
The statue is the work of sculptor Genizio Gomez Mora.
I'm going to make a big friggin' Jesus.
And his son Marcus Mora. And its head and arms were installed on April 6th, and the construction, which began in July 2019, should be finished by the end of this year. Hey, I have a question. Oh, by the way, it's going to cost. How much do you think something like that would cost?
$100.
Right?
I would assume many millions of dollars.
$353,000 is what it says here.
What are they making it out of, balsa wood?
That can't be right, correct?
Well,
that can't be right.
Unless, everything is
cheaping out.
We'd have them in my neighborhood if that was.
Why
the
did they call it cheapest?
Yeah, cheapest Christ,
cheapest, cheapest Christ. No, it has to be resilient.
By the way, I have a question about using the name Jesus as an exclamation or something like that. When people say Jesus H Christ,
yes.
Is that so
to buffer.
Technically not taking
right.
the Lord's name in vain?
Oh, that's my understanding.
What's H? You just threw a letter
Hugo.
In there?
Hugo Christ.
Jesus Hugo, Hugo Christ.
Yeah, I don't know why. I have no idea why the letter H was used, but I always assumed that that's what it was.
I think in Casey, you would know, like in Catechism, that was my understanding, that there was like H-E double toothpicks. And
my dad used to say Jiminy Christmas.
Jiminy Christmas.
Yeah. Cheese and crackers. I know there was Jiminy Cracker, Jiminy Crickets. You can say that instead of Jesus Christ, because J.C.
Brazil has a 500-foot Jiminy Cricket statue.
Isn't it they do. Yeah.
Jeepers Creepers, doesn't that come from...
I don't know.
Yeah,
Jeepers Creepers.
Jesus, here we go. This is from Wikipedia. Jesus H. Christ is an expletive interjection that refers to the Christian religion figure of Jesus Christ. Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, thanks.
It is typically uttered in anger, surprise, or frustration, though sometimes with a humorous intent. The expression Christ, Jesus, and Jesus Christ are also used as exclamations or expletives in English-speaking Christians' influenced societies. Well, great. That's the background.
Here's the
why.
Yeah. Well, the history is interesting.
So the earliest use of the phrase is unknown, but in his autobiography, Mark Twain observed that it was in general use even in his childhood. Twain refers to an episode from 1847 when he was working as a printer's apprentice.
I was working as a printer's apprentice.
He said a practical joke. A friend played on a revival preacher when Twain was an apprentice in a printing shop that Alexander Campbell, the famous evangelist then visiting Hannibal, Missouri, hired to print a pamphlet of his sermon. When checking the galleys, Twain's fellow apprentice, Wales McCormick, found that he had to make room for some dropped words, which he managed by shortening Jesus Christ on the same line to J.C. As soon as Campbell read the proofs, he swept indignantly into the shop and commanded McCormick, "So long as you live, don't you ever diminish the Savior's name again. Put it all in." McCormick obeyed, and then some. He set Jesus H. Christ and printed up all the pamphlets.
So to make it fit properly in the typeset,
I guess. So.
I know. Okay.
So I guess it was already known at that point, Nick. Oh. It doesn't really give a reason behind.
I would have sworn it was away. Yeah, yeah.
Look under folk etymology,
okay.
If you will. It says okay. If this is the most likely origin of the H, there remains an issue of folk etymology that is the sense shared by ordinary people of where the H comes from. Here, a possible origin is the name Harold.
Harold?
Which indeed is mentioned by Smith. I don't know who Smith is.
From an earlier.
As the basis of a variant form, Jesus, Harold, Christ. The Harold may arise from a
Jesus,
common...
what's the H for? It's for Harold.
Misinterpretation, also often by children, of the phrase in the Lord's Prayer, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Harold be thy name.
Oh, that's funny.
All right. That's great.
A kid might think that. Harold. I remember in Mass years ago when they would do the very strict Latin Mass when I was going, Preston, a lot of bell ringing. And I told my younger brother, "That's the ice cream man." Ice cream. And you'd hear it from the back of the church. You know, we're like real strict. The priest would never face the congregation. He was always his back to us. Ice cream.
That's great. All right. Well, there's another giant Jesus going up in Brazil. And it only costs $353,000.
I'm stunned. Can you go up inside the original?
I don't know about the original, but this one will have an elevator in it, and it will take tourists to a lookout at the height of Christ's heart.
Wow.
There will be a glass opening from where people will be able to film and photograph the valley. The aim for this is to boost tourism in that area, which is close to Brazil's borders with Uruguay and Argentina.
So
the Christ Redeemer statue, by the way, has looked down upon the city of Rio for almost 90 years. It is one of Brazil's most famous tourist attractions.
If you put the slime from Ghostbusters on this Jesus, will he activate like the Statue of Liberty did?
And you'd use Nintendo commands to...
Oh, man, that'd be cool if they fought, right?
Order them
Jesus
around.
Versus the Statue of Liberty.
Oh, yeah. Jesus is going to take that one. Yeah. Even though the Statue of Liberty has a lantern.
She does have like a torch.
Yeah, she's got a weapon.
Burn Jesus, but he's got magic.
All right, we
got
to wrap it up. Casey, give me the wrap-up. So that's it for the notes. We're not noticing anything else. We'll be back. When we get back, we'll get to the thing with the money. We'll be okay.
Do you or someone you love suffer from PWS, pathetic wardrobe syndrome? WMMR is here to help.
A pretend clinical fake study we totally made up shows a visit to the WMMR.com rock shop may reduce PWS. With lots of items made to brighten and improve your quality of life. Current and vintage designed station tees. Preston and Steve Gadzook's gear. Pierre coffee cups, ball caps, and beanies. Jackson Jeep Club travel mugs. Jackie Bam Bam's vampire wall clock. The new Brent Porsche fleece and polo. And more. Available now to end pathetic wardrobe syndrome.
Side effects may include feelings of euphoria, uncontrolled fits of joy, and the urge to hug your postal delivery person. But, well, not just yet.
Ask your doctor if the WMMR Rock Shop is right for you, and they'll probably ask why you're asking them that. Shop now at WMMR.com and say goodbye to pathetic wardrobe syndrome, which may or may not actually be a thing. MMR rocks your wardrobe.
All right, it is time.
93.3 WMMR. It's time for a Preston and Steve money clip.
One, two, three.
Now, here's your money clip keyword.
All right, we got a keyword for you, and it is contest, which is exactly what this is. A contest, C-O-N-T-E-S-T, and you now have until 15 minutes after the hour to enter that. There are three ways for you to do it. You can text it for a special contest short code number, which is 45911. Or if you're interested in winning $10,000 as a grand prize, enter it via the MMR app or at WMMR.com. And then one random entry wins $500 in our company-wide contest. That person will get a call from our company, Beasley. Make sure that you answer your phone because the contest rules are available at WMMR.com. And you can see that you'll need to answer your phone to win. So it's sponsored by Hyundai City. The word, again, is contest, C-O-N-T-E-S-T. We wish you good luck. And in the meantime, we're going to do the Bizarre File.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you this morning by A.D. Moyer Lumber. A.D. Moyer Lumber has been supplying quality building materials and service for over 80 years, four generations, one family, one commitment. Learn more at admoyer.com. A former sheriff's dispatcher in a suburb of New Orleans has been arrested, accused of refusing to return more than $1.2 million that had been accidentally deposited into her brokerage account.
I'm not going to do it.
It'd be hard, you know?
Wouldn't it be hard
To say, look, you made a little mistake here, but, you know, you have to.
We'll let you keep a million.
Kaylin Spadoni was taken into custody Wednesday on charges of theft. I'm sorry, Spadoni's a funny name. Charges of theft valued at over $25,000, bank fraud, and illegal transmission of monetary funds.
This is baloney, said Spadoni.
Such a phony.
Leave her alone. The report said that she was fired by the Jefferson Parish Sheriff's Office after her arrest. Spadoni is accused of immediately moving the funds to another account and using some of the money to buy a new car and a house. By the way, there's an ice cream called Spumoni, right?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. I never liked that.
I did. I haven't had it in a long time. I liked it. Authorities said a clerical error has caused Charles Schwab to deposit more than $1.2 million into her brokerage account when it only meant to transfer about $82 in February.
I could see that mistake. $82 million.
When the bank attempted to reclaim the money, the request was rejected because the money was not available. The sheriff's office said it was later learned that Spadoni had moved into
baloney.
Had moved the funds into another account.
He doesn't stand for baloney.
A sheriff's spokesman said that although the money was put into her account, it's not her money. She has no legal claim to that money. Even if it was put there by mistake, it was an accounting error. Charles Schwab sued Spadoni in federal court. The company tried to contact Spadoni several times.
Got Spadoni.
The transferred funds returned were
pick up the phony.
Returned, but were unsuccessful.
Hey, homie.
What's up, homie? About 75% of the money has been recovered, but Spadoni has to turn it over. And she's all alone-y, too.
It's tough. I mean, imagine. Yeah. I mean, you'd think, oh, my God, what a windfall. But you'd have to be an idiot to think that you had any right to spend
it. I know. All right. This is pretty wild. A South Carolina hunter got the shock of his life when he killed a monster nuisance alligator after taking the gator to Cordray's, a butcher shop that has a side business in taxidermy. Ned McNeely found out that the 12-foot-long, 445-pound gator was not only a nuisance, but a serial dog murderer.
Oh, my God.
He said, we don't usually open up the stomach, but we did today. 5 dog tags.
Oh, Jesus.
1 bullet jacket, a spark plug, loads of turtle shells, and several bobcat claws were inside. 2 of the tags were legible, and 1 phone number still worked. When Cordray staff called the number, the man answering the phone confirmed that he had lost a hound 24 years ago.
See, I would not, in that general area, I would not let dogs go on out by themselves.
Yeah, he lost his dog 24 years ago while hunting leased property near where the alligator was killed. So,
yeah, it's too dangerous.
That's what a gator does.
Yeah,
though.
Gator done.
Gator done. They're looking for food, and they'll eat almost anything.
It's the owner's job to protect the animal.
Yeah, but yeah. They found 5 tags in the stomach. Wow. Someone obviously didn't pretend that the floor was quicksand as a child. Camille Colho, age 54, says she was taking her son's dog for a walk on Constitution Beach in East Boston when she decided to take a shortcut through what appeared to be gravel, but it turned out to be mud. And she ended up more than knee deep in the mud, and she flat out got stuck.
She couldn't get out.
Could not move.
Well, there's a suction that occurs in mud. A lot of people don't know that.
Yeah, there are some places. I remember seeing a story about quicksand and whether it's real or not.
Yes.
And there's a beach in Ireland that when the water goes out, when the tide goes out, it turns into this muck that essentially, and it won't take you all the way under.
No.
But people walking out there will get stuck in it regularly.
The Bay of Fundy has that same situation, which has that extreme tidal shift.
Witnesses summoned firefighters to the scene to reach the woman and the dog, who did not sink, but remained by Kelho's side. Kelho was not injured in the incident. Well, it's not clear what someone would have to gain from this, but police in Surrey, England, are searching for a mystery lumberjack after someone cut down dozens of trees along a stretch of the River Thames. And what is now being referred to as the Chainsaw Massacre.
Uh-huh, because he used a chainsaw, I get it.
The person took down up to 30 trees over a 10-day period and is believed to be working at night. The tree victims have all been healthy, and the motive remains a mystery. Extra police patrols have been set up to try and catch the perpetrator or perpetrators, who police believe may be traveling in a small red car. The first fallen trees were discovered.
They're taking trees home in a small red car?
March 20. I don't know if they're taking them home. Okay. I just think they're just cutting them down.
Bastards.
Yes, for one reason or another.
Bastards.
A TikTok user has managed to make hair extensions out of her hair that fell out over the last year. And she has more than 21 million views on her post documenting her hair journey. After she learned that the average person loses 40 to 200 hairs each day, she challenged herself to collect all of the fallen hairs that she finds. And she collected the hair in plastic resealable bags before using double-sided tape to create her own hair extensions.
That's wild.
All the hair that has fallen out over that time.
Hair loss due to stress has been a big issue during the pandemic.
Yeah. But this is just standard. This is just your hair, you know, the coming out. And not falling out and never coming back, but just,
natural progression.
Yep. In a recent video, she demonstrated putting her do-it-yourself extensions into a ponytail, by the way. But she did all that just by picking up her discarded hair. One last story. Let's end with this one. It's got a death in it. I don't want to end with that. We'll end with something else. How about this? All right, so you think of tortoises as slow creatures, but one family found out the hard way they can still manage to run away. One Kansas family is asking their neighbors to keep an eye out for a giant tan brown hump after their 10-year-old pet tortoise, Mad Mardigan, escaped their Wichita backyard sometime between Monday morning and Monday afternoon.
Think I'll go out for a walk.
While they believe that Mad Mardigan is still in the area, they are worried about her safety, particularly because temperatures have fallen in recent days. Mad Mardigan was from Willow, right?
Yes, I believe so.
It was the Val Kilmer
character. Yeah,
yeah. They said we were originally from Phoenix, and in the winter times, we do get frost, but typically the tortoise is in a burrow and is actually warm and inside.
It's getting a little nippy out here.
The owner, Harun Bari, whose wife has owned Mad Mardigan since she was a hatchling, so small she could fit in the palm of the hand, said, while she could probably handle cold weather snap, it's too cold. Too cold is definitely not too good for her health, so it's a little worrisome. So they're looking for it. I told you, I had friends who had a turtle that ran away.
Yes.
They said things are faster than you think they are.
I like turtles.
Yeah, turtles are wonderful.
They can get away from you. All right, and there you go. And by the way, it's a giant pet tortoise
ran away. Yeah, oh, wow.
It's a big one.
Those are cool.
That's the Bizarre File. We're going to take a break. We'll come back in a moment. And you still, by the way, have about 3 minutes and change to enter the word contest for the Press and Receive Money Clip Cash Giveaway. $500 up for grabs. So the word is contest, C-O-N-T-E-S-T. You can text it at 45911 or go through the MMR app or through WMMR.com. Good luck to you. We'll come back. Music News, Trash That Stuff is up next.
Listen to all the WMMR podcasts as well as a live stream on your Alexa-enabled device. Just say, Alexa, open MMR.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
We're going to give away a lesson learned prize. We have a promo screening code for the new action thriller from Amazon Studios, Tom Clancy's Without Remorse.
Was
and a couple other things that come along with that. And the question I'm gonna rephrase this. Nick draws up the lesson questions, but I'm gonna go with this one. Watching cricket on ESPN, what does Regis like to drink cold?
Okay.
215-263 WMMR. All right. When watching cricket on ESPN, what does Regis like to drink cold? 215-263-WMMR. No wild guesses. You won't have a chance in hell.
Yeah.
You had to have heard it, and we are going to do the trash while you're calling in. Here we go.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
Brought to you this morning by Horizon. You can get your air conditioning ready for warm weather. Book Horizon's complete 21-point AC tune-up now for $59, plus get up to a pound of refrigerant for free if your system needs it. HorizonServices.com. What's going on, Steve?
Well, Luke Bryan announcing that he has tested positive coronavirus and will have to miss judging the first American Idol live show. However, Bryan did insist he would be back soon to help select the American Idol we will all immediately forget.
Yes.
Michael B. Jordan explaining why Sylvester Stallone will not be part of Creed 3, saying Sly felt it was time to move on. Jordan hinted that Stallone is working on a new standalone Rocky movie in which he must fight for a parking spot at Cracker Barrel.
That's right, it stinks!
Finally, The Guardian, I never heard this before, but The Guardian reporting on a long-standing rumor that Queen Elizabeth has the Ark of the Covenant hidden within the walls of Buckingham Palace. Hmm. Other hidden artifacts reportedly include a follow-up hit for Chumbawamba.
Oh.
And that's your Hollywood track.
That would be the other big elusive jewel out there.
Yes.
All right, so the lesson question. Let's see if we can find a correct answer for this. When watching cricket on ESPN, what does Regis like to drink cold? And I'm going to go to Fred and see if he knows the answer. Hey, Fred.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. All right, Fred, what does Regis like to drink cold while he's watching cricket on ESPN?
That would be meat juice.
Meat juice. You're right, Fred. Hold on a moment, bud, because for you, we have a promo screening code for the new action thriller from Amazon Studios. Tom Clancy's Without Remorse, starring Michael B. Jordan on April 29th. One grand prize winner, by the way, this week gets upgraded to attend the virtual world premiere, the same event that talent filmmakers and other VIPs will be attending, including an interactive escape room experience and an after party with live DJ. Without Remorse.
Without Remorse.
Is on Prime Video starting on April 30th, by the way. All right, we're going to do music news.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
Yay! All right, sponsored by RoadCon Incorporated. If you have heavy and highway construction experience and would like to work for a company that values that experience, RodeCon wants to talk to you. Visit road-con.com to apply online. Road-con.com. Here's a follow-up story.
I finally...
RodeCon? Roads.
Rowds. Wow. That's a total weird word, isn't it?
Roads.
I never saw black sheep, so I don't know that bad. One.
Did you see Tommy Boy?
I did.
You saw black sheep.
Many times. Oh, okay. So here's the follow-up story. Kirk Hammett's ESP 400 series guitar that he played in the band's one music video recently sold at an auction. And remember, I think they were saying like $25,000 or something like that. $112,500 at auction. Yeah, the high bidder remains anonymous. The guitar has since been autographed by Hammett and is described as being in excellent condition. So somebody's collection, it goes to that. AC/DC's Brian Johnson will release his autobiography. It's called The Lives of Brian. It's coming out on October 26. Topics include life as a child in the UK as the son of a British Army sergeant major to his years in the band Gordy and to replacing the late Bon Scott.
Is it is the title a riff on The Life of Brian?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
The Lives of Brian, yeah. And by the way, I don't know if the band was called Gordy or Geordie, G-E-O-R-D-I-E. As well as the hearing issues that forced him to leave AC/DC in 2016. He's going to cover that before recently returning to the band.
Been fixed, though, right? He's able to tour. Yeah.
Yesterday, Johnson tweeted, "I've had some long nights and some great nights, bad days, and a lot of good ones. And I've gone from choir boy to rock and roll singer, and now I've gone and written a bloody book about it all. Lives of Brian, coming out October 26th.
Bloody book.
Would love to be able to talk to him. Have we? I think we have spoken to
him. We have. We talked to him.
That's right.
It was about his something having to do with his car collection.
That's right. Dave Grohl has tapped a wide range of friends and fellow musicians for his latest film, which is titled Dave Grohl's What Drives Us. Rolling Stone reported the documentary, directed by Dave and produced by Foo Fighters, is based around various bands' war stories of making their bones during their early days traveling together on the road. The film will premiere on April 30th via the Coda Collection on Amazon Prime Video channels. I would love to see this.
Do you know what I forgot? Dave Grohl makes a cameo appearance in the most recent Bill and Ted's movie.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
Nice.
And it's funny.
Among the high-profile rockers appearing in the film are Ringo Starr, Flea, Slash and Duff McKagan, The Edge, Lars Ulrich, Brian Johnson, Steven Tyler, No Doubt's Tony Kanal, Black Flag's Kira Russler, St. Vincent, Exene Cervenka of X, and more.
Huh.
In the press release for the film, Dave said, "This film is my love letter to every musician that has ever jumped in an old van with their friends and left it all behind for the simple reward of playing music.
I think I'm going
to
love this.
What started as a project to pull back the curtain on do-it-yourself logistics of stuffing all your friends and equipment into a small space for months on end eventually turned into an exploration of why and what drives us. I have seen that. I've had personal experience in doing the van traveling, going to gigs thing, and it's definitely unique.
So it's definitely an
adventure.
I've done the stand-up version of that, which is a riff on it, which is...
That's by yourself.
Yeah, and sometimes with other comedians when you go on, you know, and you'll rent a car and do the deal. So, but it... There is a cool thing that happens. It's you can't do it your whole life.
Yeah.
But there is just a cool vibe, you know?
And then finally, The Who is teaming up with Heinz Baked Beans as a tie-in to promote the upcoming The Who sellout box set and the band's patron charity, the Teenage Cancer Trust. In addition to recording a jingle for the brand on the legendary 1967 pop art masterpiece, along with Roger Daltrey appearing in a vat of beans on the band of the band on the LP cover, new limited edition Beans Means The Who baked beans cans are available to purchase, with all the net proceeds going to charity.
And you remember baked beans blow out of the TV set in the movie Tommy?
Yep.
And Aunt Marga going nuts.
Stateside, there are 500 limited edition cans available to buy from The Who's U.S. merch store. All net proceeds are going to Teen Cancer America. The charity was co-founded by Pete Townsend and Roger Daltrey, with TCT partnering with hospitals throughout the states to develop specialized facilities and services for teens and young adults with cancer.
The original lyric was, "Won't get beans again," and they changed it.
Beans again.
Yeah.
I can't say I've ever heard their jingle that they did. for Heinz Baked Beans, which is on that album. By
Behind
the way,
so. Blue Beans?
No, I don't think that was it. So, anyhow, there you go. That's what I have in music news. We got a caller.
Ooh.
Let's see who it is. It's Jeff. Hey, Jeff, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How you doing, Preston?
Good. Jeff, did you enter the secret word?
I did, and I won $500.
It was easy, wasn't it, Jeff?
I'm sorry?
I said it was easy, wasn't it, Jeff?
Oh, it was so easy.
Nice.
You know what? I don't know if you're going to work, but I would call in sick, stay home, and drink some meat juice.
Yeah.
Yeah. I might have to.
Indulge, my friend. Where are you from, Jeff?
Broomall, Pennsylvania.
Hey, Broomall. Woman!
We got one, yeah, at a Delco!
You're buying me a cheeseburger today!
Come on over.
Where are you guys going?
I don't, well...
Where would you go?
We could go to Freddy's, we could go to Five Guys.
Where would you go, Jeff?
I'm more of a Five Guys fan over the Freddy's.
All right, no, you got good taste. They're all good.
Five Guys, yeah. It's on you, Jeff.
He's got enough money to buy from both places.
Dude, thanks for listening. Thanks for entering the contest. We are ecstatic to give you $500, my friend.
Thank you so much. You guys rock.
All right, appreciate it. It's here for Jeff, everybody. That's our winner. And don't forget your next chance coming up at noon. It's sponsored by Hyundai City. It is the Preston and Steve Money Clip. We're going to take a break. We'll come back in a second. And Brett Porsche's in for Pierre. We'll see what's cooking in his world. Stay with us.
WMMR.com. Hear Dirty Honey's new track, Gypsy, and The Offspring's swing ska-inspired.
We never have sex anymore.
Plus, see Preston and Steve's recent video interview with Amy Lee of Evanescence. And check out this week's big friggin' deal from King Shooter Supply in King of Prussia. An hour of instruction and range time for just $75. Keyword deal.
WMMR.com. An enjoyable day today. Hopefully you have had as much fun as we had. And we had great guests, so it was wonderful to have Danica McKellar.
Yeah!
This morning. She's got the Matchmaker Mysteries, The Art of the Kill. Coming up on, it's this Sunday, actually, on Hallmark Movies and Mysteries. And she was saying that of those, the Matchmaker Mysteries, it's a series of them. There's like a storyline that threads through it.
It's basically the holiday movies with just replace the garland and Christmas tree with a dead body.
Yeah, with somebody dead, and then you go from there.
Yeah.
So we thank Danica McKellar and our buddy Jake Matera.
Yeah. Yay.
Jake is at Helium Comedy Club headlining a show on Sunday. A lot of great comedians in that show, and they're recording. He's going to be doing essentially an album, which is really cool. So it's great to have Jake on this morning. And you know what? We have to give away a tattoo. Today's tattoo.
We do, that's right. Yeah.
So
yeah.
Why don't we do that now? Tattoo. Throughout the morning's program, we've had people text in or tattoo, and they were in the running to win a Preston and Steve themed tattoo from Floating World Tattoo and Piercing. Our winner today, David Murphy from 6ABC.
Oh, my God.
Get out of here.
Both he and Jim Gardner will have him now.
Yo, Murph. No, this David Murphy is from Pottstown. I don't think that David Murphy, our David Murphy, is from. But David, this particular David Murphy, gets the Preston and Steve themed tattoo. And it is, like I said, from Floating World Tattoo and Piercing. They are located at 1729 South Street in Philadelphia. For samples, you can check out floatingworldtattoos.com or on Instagram. They are at Floating World Tattoos, so a big congrats to him.
You know, I watched Holy Moses over the weekend, and Murphy's in that.
Yeah, so he's an actor.
Right, and he plays a young kid who's actually bringing a fig tree back to his parents, and Dudley Moore keeps pulling figs off of the tree.
That's right.
And he's has this huge potted tree that he's carrying around with him on this bus, but he's prominently featured.
It's a funny movie, too. It's very Mel Brooks.
It's great.
And Murph was on his way to be an actor. In fact, he was up for the Tom Cruise role in Risky Business.
That's the word.
Like
that. Yeah. Instead, he played Rebecca Ramone.
Yeah, which he was so hot.
He was amazing.
Oh, man. Wow. Speaking of hot, Brett Porsche.
Yes!
And David Murphy's a Delco boy, just like me.
Is he from Delco?
Yeah.
Do you know whereabouts?
Drexel Hill.
And where do you hail from?
I'm from Springfield originally.
Okay.
Yeah. You are Delco through and through then.
I'm Delco through that's and through. Delco. Absolutely. Still living in Delco. Yep.
Very nice. Yeah.
Excellent. All right. Well, you ready for the letter?
Yeah, let's go.
Here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
And the Preston and Steve Show is brought to you today by the letter.
The letter A is in Amy Grant.
All right. Well done, Brent. We have two letters. 4-pack of tickets, by the way, to see the Flyers battle the Washington Capitals on Saturday. Wait, we just traded Roffle over to them, right?
Yeah, so you get to see him back.
Yeah. It's at 12:30 at the Wells Fargo Center. Single game tickets are now on sale at PhiladelphiaFlyers.com, so we'll give that away on Friday. Got a beautiful day ahead of us, Brent.
That's right. That's right.
What do you have in store for those?
Workforce blocks today. So Aaron Lewis, you mentioned earlier, today's his birthday, so we're going to be doing a block of Stained. It's also Mark Ford's birthday from the Black Crowes, so we're going to be doing a block of them as well. And Breaking Benjamin is celebrating an album anniversary today, so we'll be doing that with the Workforce block. And today is Max Weinberg's birthday from the E Street Band, so we're going to be celebrating his birthday in the 2 o'clock hour. Double shots all day, plus more money, more money, more money.
Yeah, man. Next shot coming up at noon. Thank you, Brent. And I want to thank our sponsors. The Preston and Steve Show brought to you today by Acme Markets. Fresh foods, local flavors. Also by Dunkin', the official coffee of the Preston and Steve Show. And RoadCon Incorporated, now hiring for heavy and highway construction positions at road-con.com. That's road-con.com. Tomorrow, we got a few things on our list for tomorrow. Wednesday, we'll go on Fox Good Day. We will also have, from the movie The Sandlot, Timmy.
Oh!
Victor DiMattia will be on the show. Or is it Mattia?
Mattia?
DiMattia, I think. Yeah, I just want to make sure I get that right. And then we have the new voice of the Philadelphia Union, Danny Higginbotham, on the program tomorrow, too.
Talk very nice.
By the Yacht Club.
No remorse.
And we'll have a secret text word and all that good stuff. That is it. We are done. Ray John, have a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow, friend. Bye-bye.
Hey everybody, it's good to have you on the bop-a-doo-da-ba-doo-ba-ba-ba-doo-ga-ga-ba-ba-dop.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.